much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
By your entry upon these premises,
you are consenting to being photographed and filmed, naked or otherwise.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, do you know what day this is? Today is Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Today is Friday, my job sure is taxing, but Friday is my day to start and relax, and you see what I say. Thank God it's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday, bingo play on the highway. Everybody's looking forward to your silence, silence.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Now we're rolling.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
Roll another one.
Girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
Just like the other one.
Airtight.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Everything's better with Megan Fox in it, right?
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Not interested.
Roll.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
This one seems to be about
Carol, hold my call.
I don't have another cent.
What will Lady Gaga do to entertain the world?
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
And now.
All right, boys and girls, thank you very much. Before you go through these gates, you need to know the rules. We're going to go to the unit. We're going to remove the lock. We're going to give you 5 minutes to take a look around. You can't go inside. You can't open any boxes. Who's ever got the most money in their pocket today can certainly own it. Are you ready?
Yeah. All right, folks, let's go.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Our feature presentation.
What is that?
Yep. Storage Wars.
Yep.
Oh, that's
Storage Wars. That's how Storage Wars begins each week.
I caught up on that over the holidays.
Oh, it's so great.
Can't bear it.
So good. I got to go out and buy a storage.
I do not want to see other people's crap.
It's a lot of crap.
But don't they often find interesting things, Lisa?
They do, but it's a lot of work for the money they make.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A ton of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot
of
crap.
If there's anything else I could do, I would do it.
Yeah. To make, these people
to make
seem
that
to be
amount of money.
Addicted to it. There's something about owning something and not knowing what it is.
I know. I met someone over the holidays that does this.
Really?
Actually, in Washington. Not full time, on the side.
Side.
She's got like 5 boxes she hasn't even unpacked from the last one. She said, I'm kind of a hoarder.
She's
compulsive
a hoarder.
Buyer.
She's a hoarder of other people's crap, and she doesn't even know what it is.
Yes, exactly.
Huh. Well, this show's all the rage here, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Ralph loves it. Bean loves it.
I love it, too. I think we got a couple of the Storage War buyers coming in next week. I think the married couple's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Hey, welcome on into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, kids. It is Friday, and I got 2 stories out of Japan to get us going here today.
Right.
Both sex-related, by the way. World's largest orgy just happened in Japan.
All right.
This is, they keep up in the ante on this, and, you know, we may need to pass this information along to Mr. Carolla because, you know, he's all about keeping these records in the United States of America.
Yeah.
But I thought World's Largest Gangbang was a different thing. I think U.S. still holds that record, but we've just lost the World's Largest Orgy record. And it was set in Japan, professional camera crew taking pictures in a giant warehouse. They had 250 couples all having sex at the same time.
Okay.
It is not sexy, though, because, I mean, it looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like the firehouse after a tornado where families have to go and stay overnight because the weather's too bad. It's a warehouse with little mats on the floor, and they're about 3 feet apart. There's a couple on each one, and they're all just going at it.
That's not technically an orgy if it's just a bunch of couples having sex in the same room. In an orgy, people trade around.
They swap
right?
off.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very interesting point.
Well, I've read.
Of course.
I don't sound sexy.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, Lisa, because everything in this story and the photographs that are in, that are attached to this story all just show partners. They just show two people going at it, and then two people going at it, 3 people past them, and, you know, 3 feet past them, and the same thing all the way around. But, of course, they did film it, and it is available on a DVD for about $40. You can see the World's Largest Orgy if you're interested. And then, you know, if you're Lisa, write a strongly worded letter to complain.
Well, I'm just saying it's still up for grabs.
The United States might still have it then.
Might still have a chance.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I see. Letter of the law. I like it.
And the other story is, and I think you'll appreciate this, Kevin, here's a guy who got away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids or if it weren't for a virus that infected his computer, leading the Japanese government to investigate what he had been doing on his computer.
Uh-oh.
In a period of 8 months, this civil servant employee in Japan made 780,000 visits to pornographic websites.
All right.
780,000 visits.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a full-time job.
In 8 months, despite the high number of visits, none of the men's coworkers noticed his activity. Each desk is set apart from the other, one coworker stated. First of all, you're begging for a virus if you're doing nothing but surfing porn all day.
That's true.
But second of all, yeah, how do you get away with that and get anything else done? Like, how is the fact that you haven't worked and it's 4 p.m., you haven't gotten a thing done yet? How is that not the tip off?
Well, maybe they're good at their job and they just whip it out quick, so to speak. They finish their actual work and then they just go crazy.
Like they get everything done between 8 and 8:15 and the rest of the day? Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, he has gotten a demotion at work. Not fired, by the way. Gotten a demotion and a $190 a month pay cut. That's his penalty for being discovered doing nothing but surfing porn day after day, month after month.
Wow.
That's a crazy number, right?
That's a lot of porn.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So apparently it's going on in Japan. Apparently Japan's where it's happening today.
Japan is where it does seem to be the center of the porn universe.
Which is weird, yeah, because, you know, in general, you know, you think about the Japanese people as being, you know, very private and demure.
Right.
And, yeah. But uptight.
But
even.
No. Tell you they're not. They're not that.
not this guy anyway.
Does anybody need that much porno?
Well, I guess
Does
not.
Does anybody need that much porno?
I need to hear that twice, but yeah.
I'm saying no. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Weenie and the Butt.
In the morning.
On the radio.
It is Friday. That means we've got some football coming up, so we're going to talk to Cousin Sal.
Playoffs finally here.
NFL picks. Very excited about
that. I can't find the Seahawks game, though. It's weird. I was trying to set up my DVR for the weekend, and I can't figure out what time it's on.
You know what's bizarre about that is I can't find the Cardinals.
Huh. Must be that new DirecTV menu. Must just be harder to find things.
Huh. We also have Weirdo. And we have...
Excuse me? What?
I said we had Cousin Sal talking about the NFL games.
Didn't you also mention the world's greatest human, Weird Al Yankovic, is going to be on the program today?
I may have mentioned that in passing, yeah.
Nobody wants to hear a parody song when they can hear the real thing for the same price.
Two words. Eat it.
Yes. Weird Al, who had the greatest New Year's Eve ever, is going to tell us all about it.
And what a bizarre situation he found himself in.
He sure did.
We are going to have the movie beat. It's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and I'm very excited about this, Jersey Shore came back last night.
Did it really?
And I didn't watch on purpose because I didn't want to see it. And we have LaQuisha, who's going to be
I make that decision every week to not watch because I don't want to see it.
Right, but you wouldn't anyway. I would, but I like to hear LaQuisha's, you know, she gets upset about it. So she's going to give us a recap today. And then we're going to ask you this question. If a cop gives a girl a ticket, pulls her over, gives her a ticket, She has to give him her home address and all that kind of stuff. So then the cop, I think Bean told you the story like two or three days ago, the cop goes over to her house, yeah. leaves a note on her car saying, hey, you know, we should get together sometime for dinner.
You remember me? I'm the guy who gave you a $130 ticket. Let's go out.
So she's a little creeped out by it, and she's suing.
Yes, she is now suing.
And the question that we've been talking about is, A, is it creepy?
Right.
And it seems like it is a bit to me, but I'm not suing.
I think most people would agree that's over the top.
You know what I mean? Like, that's maybe creepy, but I don't know that you want to sue.
That's now just taking advantage.
We don't have all the facts in the case. We don't know what he's like or something, but come on now.
There are some people who are not really offended by something, but just decide to sue because they're opportunistic and see money in it.
Sure.
Right.
That's possible.
That does happen.
Pat Robertson is talking to God, and he's giving him all kinds of information about the future. So we're very excited about that. And we got to talk about Beer Mug, mm-hmm. who gave Bean the world's worst Christmas gift.
Yeah, you got to try really hard to blow it as bad as Beer Mug did. I mean, it's not even – we'll talk about it in a few minutes. It's not even a gift where you go, well – it's not what I would have wanted, but I can see the thought behind it, or a good effort, or at least he tried. Right. It's not even that.
Come on. I think he did try, though. And that's what makes it funny.
Because he's such a giant fail.
He absolutely thought it was a good gift.
He was probably so excited to give it to you, which makes it better. And we're going to talk to a guy who jumps motorcycles, but he's blind. Gets on a motorcycle, hits a ramp, flies through the air, lands.
Just annoying.
Blind.
I don't know how much any blind guy should be behind any wheel.
Yeah,
just seems like maybe driving. I don't care what the circumstances are. Just seems like driving maybe should not be your thing if you're blind.
You don't even have to consider it. You just go, okay, that's out.
That's out. Right. There's plenty of other things I can do, but maybe driving isn't one of them.
What are the rest of the options that I have available, but not this guy?
But he's gay. He's gay. Blind. He's blind.
Blind, yes. So we're going to talk to him as well, and we've got your Coldplay tickets. Okay. So keep listening for that. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat, which is coming up next.
This is certainly getting tedious.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock at 5:54.
Who are we?
Like, do not look at me like that, Ralph.
Sounds like it's going to be a good day. Good day for the monkey.
I have not slept.
I did not sleep.
I did not sleep.
Speaking of Coldplay, by the way, starting at 9 o'clock this morning and every hour all day long on good old K-Rock, you can win your tickets to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl. And then Monday, we make the grand prize drawing, call somebody, send them to Spain to go see the band again. Destination number one of K-Rock World Tour 2012. How about that? Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday, 5:54. What's going on?
Guys, familiar with pop star Jason Derulo?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Looking forward to seeing him on tour?
No,
you're not.
No. But
because he is not touring.
Oh, why?
He tweeted yesterday while rehearsing for his upcoming European tour, I fractured my neck doing tumbling and acrobatics for the tour. Now in a neck brace, Hollywood Reporter says he has to cancel all of his upcoming tour dates. If you have to tumble and do acrobatics on stage and you're a singer, you're a bad singer.
Yes. Sing better.
If that's how you have to keep people's attention while you're performing live, you should take some vocal courses.
Could he perform with one of those dog cones? Would that help?
I don't think he has stitches in his belly. Okay. I think he has a fractured neck.
I'm just asking.
So he's in a brace and they're telling him to rest and heal up before he goes back on tour.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Congratulations to former Felicity actress Kerry Russell. Gave birth to her second child. With her husband, Shane Deary, yesterday. A girl named Willa.
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 That's become a popular name in recent years, it seems like.
It has?
It's hella popular. Willa. They already have a 4-year-old son named River. So River and Willa.
Okay.
We'll be running around the playground at the Russell Deary home. Jessica Biel won't be the only celebrity bride walking down the aisle this year with Justin Timberlake. Drew Barrymore is apparently getting married again.
She's also walking down the aisle with Justin Timberlake?
No, Gilligan. No, she'll be walking down the aisle with her boyfriend, Will Kopelman, who proposed in Sun Valley, Idaho over the holidays. Idaho, Wyoming? Does anybody go to the beach anymore? What's wrong with these people? Drew, of course, was married to Tom Green from July of 2001 through October 2002.
Can you imagine?
No. I couldn't imagine when they did it.
A week.
And Jeremy Thomas was her first husband. She was married to him for 1 month in 1994.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not for her.
You don't think marriage is for
her? She's waited a long time now.
Yeah, she's really straightened out her act.
But it's not for everyone.
No, just ask Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony. They'll tell you marriage is forever. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. Not to be undone by his soon-to-be ex-wife's flaunting her new, younger, more attractive boyfriend. Mark Anthony yesterday showed off his new girlfriend, Shannon DeLima.
I bet she's a dog.
Yeah, she is a Venezuelan model.
All right.
Didn't he used to be married to a Miss Universe also, by the way?
He did, Dayanara Torres.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he knows how to pick
her. I don't get the... Help me out here, Lisa. What's the attraction to Skeletor, as they call him, Mark Anthony? What's
he's
that deal?
Not a good-looking man.
Nope.
I don't know.
It's got to be the money and the fame, right? I mean,
yeah,
but
sure.
Why did Jennifer Lopez marry him? There must
be something.
Didn't
need that.
The talent.
Yeah.
The talent. Maybe she's impressed by his singing ability.
Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're looking at a photo of
of
Shannon DeLima.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
She's got a nice booty. I guess he likes the booties.
Yep.
While we're talking about attractive women, Joe Francis, you know him. He was, of course, the brains behind Girls Gone Wild.
Mm-hmm.
He got into a situation yesterday. He's taking more inappropriate photos of women. But this time it was the result of a car crash. He opened his Bentley door into traffic, according to TMZ.com.
Right.
Which caused a woman to plow into it. He jumped out of his car and started blaming her, screaming and snapping pictures of her.
And did he make her lift her top?
Yeah. He said, take off your shirt.
Show me your boobs.
The mystery woman apparently did not appreciate this, tried to grab his phone, and then they engaged in what authorities are calling mutual combat.
Oh, my God.
Mutual combat.
I was playing that last night till like 3 in the morning. I was playing mutual combat. I could not turn it off. I love that game. Both parties suffered minor injuries. No one was arrested, however, so I guess the insurance companies will have to hash it out, but... I know for a fact, if you open your door into traffic, on the traffic side of your car, you are 100% at fault in
that
situation.
Right?
Yes, it is.
And how do you know that?
Well,
fact,
Kevin, I'll have you know that I once opened my door into traffic to get out. If you're in the driver's side, that's what are you going to do, crawl across your car and get out on the passenger side by the curb?
No, but you could wait until there are no cars coming.
Here's the thing. I looked,
and
there were no cars coming.
Right. Yes.
But I was parked on the corner of an intersection, and an elderly couple made a right-hand turn onto the street where I was parked. So after I had checked my rear view and my side view mirror and saw there was no traffic coming, and I opened up my door, they made the right turn and took my door clean off.
Dude.
Wow.
And
that's
he must have been 87 if he was a day.
Wow.
And I was like, dude! And he was like, no idea what was going on. He could just about walk, this guy.
I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Did you start taking pictures?
I told him to take off his top. I started taking pictures.
No, but so it ended up being your fault illegally, though.
So I went to my insurance company. I said, look, these are the details. The guy made a turn into my door. He did not look. He didn't see what was going. I made sure that I had the right of way before I opened the door. It was a residential street. It wasn't like a busy boulevard where there's shops or anything.
Right.
Nope.
Still your
fault.
How about that?
If you open up your car into traffic, it is completely.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Yeah. I mean, this reminds me, you know, you're going down a residential street, say, and the guy in front of you for no reason out of nowhere just slams on his brakes and you run into him. Still your fault. I mean, there are some rules that they have on the books that are just, it's always this person's fault in this situation, regardless of circumstances.
But that was one of those things where I thought, what if I had opened the door and then, what if they had made that turn 5 seconds after, later than they did? If I had stepped out of the car into the door, I would have been
hit you.
Pavement pizza.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, scary stuff.
How about that?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Malcolm Young of AC/DC is 59 years old today. Rowan Atkinson, British actor and comedian, probably best known for playing?
Mr. Bean.
57 years old today. I wonder if he has a shirt that says Beantown that he wears around, do you think?
That'd be pretentious. I doubt it.
Howie Long, NFL player and TV analyst, is 52. John Singleton, the director, is 44. Julie Chen, TV personality, host of The Big Brother, she is 42. Danny Pintaro from Who's the Boss is 36. And Arctic Monkeys singer and guitarist Alex Turner turns 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How come I can't know the future? How come God won't talk to me about who's going to be the next president?
No, you're not a good enough person.
Dude, you barely know the president. You barely can look around you and see what's going on. You certainly aren't talking to God. You certainly aren't being handed information about what's going to happen. But Pat Robertson is. Pat is, gosh, he's got to be around 80 or so now. He has been a an unofficial leader to the Christian right for decades and decades. Had a unsuccessful run for the presidency, but he was pretty pretty hot for a while. He was leading candidate for a while back in the 80s to be the Republican nominee for the presidency.
Does he still do the TV show?
Yes, he's still on the 700 Club 5 days a week, and he talks to God. And I think we've got a clip of him recently, this past week, talking about all the time he spent in prayer and all the information that God has handed to him.
I spent the better part of a week in prayer and just saying, God, show me something, and I'll share with you some things I'll share with you. I think he showed me about the next president, but I'm not supposed to talk about that, so I'll leave you in the dark.
What? Come on!
You can't tease us with who's the next president and then go, man, can't tell you.
Doesn't it seem like, and I'm not the Bible expert here, I may not be the guy to ask, but doesn't it seem like if God comes down and talks to you, if you are chosen, as many were in the Bible, by the way, doesn't it seem like it should be your duty to spread God's word to people?
Well, it certainly doesn't seem like he's doing that just for Pat, you know?
Like, yeah, exactly, yeah. You should be taking every possible opportunity as closely as possible to tell every word that comes from God. But he says, yeah, I know who it's going to be, but I'm not telling you.
Probably just as well,
but I think I know who it's going to be.
You can't tease like that.
On the TV show, he's been saying that that God did tell him that President Obama cannot be reelected, that the country is going to collapse if President Obama is reelected, and that it needs to be one of the Republicans, but he's not saying who is going to win. So we wanted to find out more about the story because, as you know, we've had Mr. Robertson on from time to time from the 700 Club, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
Good.
Big week for you talking to the big guy.
I'll tell you, it's always a blessing when I get messages from God, when he pulls me aside and tells me all these important things. And it's great to be able to have that.
You have organ music playing there in the background?
We do. We're here. We're just about to start our morning service.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I see. Some time out to play with. Talk with you guys.
I got you.
Doesn't it seem like, as I was saying before we brought you on, Mr. Robertson, that maybe you have an obligation to share that with God's followers? If you actually have inside information, tell the world.
Trust me, I'd love to.
Right.
But God told me not to.
But then
he said, I can't share it with you. He told me I'm not supposed to talk about that, so I'm going to have to just keep that to myself.
Did
right
he
now.
Start with, I'm about to tell you something, but you got to keep it to yourself?
He said, Pat, can you keep a secret? And I said, well, sure, God, of course I can. And then he told me who's going to be the next president, and he said, but don't tell anybody. I'm not going to say anything.
Why would he tell you and then tell you not to tell anybody?
I think he just wants to give me hope for this great country.
I see. Okay.
So that we can get that Satanist, communist, socialist, Kenyan-born president out of office.
All right, so is that a hint then? Is God telling you that one of the Republicans will win, that President Obama will be a one-term president?
I can't tell you. God told me not to tell you.
Oh,
so
I see.
I know.
Right.
But I can't tell you. I'm sorry.
All right.
He also told me that who's going to win Hell's Kitchen next season.
Really?
Yeah.
Information?
Why would he spend any time?
I'm sorry. I can't tell
you. Well, he didn't say you can't tell us that.
No, he did. He said, hey, do you like Gordon Ramsay the way I do? And
what?
I said, I sure do. He's one funny British person.
And so quite a chat.
He said, I know who's going to win Hell's Kitchen. And I said, who? And he told me, but I can't tell you.
Give us a hint.
America's Next Dance Crew.
Right.
I know. I know who's going to win that show, too. Told me.
Is he into that show?
Oh, he loves that. Yeah. He was really rooting for Jabberwocky when they were on there.
Yeah.
I guess God knows how all the shows are going to end.
Of course
I guess.
He does. He's God.
Right. Sure, right.
Hey, you want to know who wins the Super Bowl?
Yes, very much I do. Yes.
I can't
Packers?
Tell you.
What?
I can't tell you. No.
Will it be Denver? Please tell me it'll be the Broncos.
I can't tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Come on. But AFC or NFC?
But I can tell you Jesus has some explaining to do to Tim Tebow. That's
okay. All right. That tells me something. All right.
Yeah.
This seems odd that you would have all this information. Is there anything that God told you that you can tell us?
Yeah. Kevin, get some sleep.
Okay. All right. Why is the guy riding motorcycles if he's blind, by the way? Like, what's the thrill of that?
Likes it. Having fun?
Yeah, but I imagine it's still as much fun.
Sure.
How, do you think it would be as much fun to ride a motorcycle with your eyes closed as it is with your eyes open?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think as fun, but I don't think he has the option of riding with his eyes open.
I mean, being on a roller coaster would be just about as much fun.
It's not eyes open as much as it is blind.
Blind. Just for
it's not like he just closes his eyes.
No, but I'm just saying I just don't think it would be that much fun to ride a motorcycle if you couldn't see. But we'll talk to Matt Wadsworth coming up here in a couple of minutes on the Kevin Reed Show. First, though, thanks for tuning in here on a Friday. Weird Al Yankovic on the program today. Also, it's Monday. That means the movie beat. LaQuisha takes a look at last night's Jersey Shore, too. We got a couple of items of just a 2011 business we have to take care of real fast. It involve Christmas presents. One is, Kevin, what's this gift that we're giving away to the listeners? This is unusual.
Well, I got you a gift, and what is not unusual is that I forgot to send it. That happens a lot.
So Bean never received this.
Correct. But then what I realized was Bean got it from somebody else.
Mm.
So now what do I do with it? And you'll see, like, most gifts, if it's a shirt or something else, I can just use.
Right.
This is a toaster. Bean loves toast, which is,
I do. It's my favorite food.
And it puts your favorite sports team's insignia on the toast.
Oh my God!
In darker shades.
Yeah.
So this is a Seattle Mariners toaster.
Yes, that's a fantastic item.
So every piece of toast that comes out has the Mariners logo on it.
That's amazing. I love that.
What a great idea! And then then we were talking about last week, and B's like, "Wow, I got the greatest toaster from Omar." And I was like, "What?"
Omar did send me the Seattle Mariners toaster. You had one for me as well. Left it at home. So now we're looking for a Mariners fan that might want this free item, a free Christmas gift from Kevin.
You can call right now, right? We're going to give it away. If you're a Seattle Mariners fan, let's be honest, this is going to be difficult.
How dare you?
1-800-520-1067. Or you just want the toaster that puts Seattle
Mariners.
Let's give it
to a Mariners fan. Yeah. Let's get a Mariners fan. I'll ask a question when we get them on the line just to make sure. But yeah, 1-800-520-1067. Perhaps you're a Pacific Northwest transplant to Southern California. You still love the Mariners. You can win the toaster if you call right now.
I don't want it. What am I going to do with it? I don't need a Mariners toaster, for God's sake.
I don't think we've ever given away a toaster in all the years we've been doing this show. Yeah. All right, so that's thing one. And go ahead and call now. Thing two is, I received maybe the worst Christmas gift I've ever received from somebody on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, that somebody is Beer Mug, because Beer Mug is fail, as you know. I think I'm going to get a tattoo on my foot. Like, you've got the tattoo of the Beer Mug. I'm going to get a tattoo on my foot that says Beer Mug equals fail.
Fine.
I think that's going to be mine.
You do that. This is easy, easy. Here are two things you need to know. One is Bean never complains about gifts.
Mm-hmm.
He's thoughtful that way. He's just, if he has it already or whatever.
Because I very much appreciate the effort that goes into sending a gift. And I'm grateful that you thought of me.
But then he tried to get his head around this particular gift and how the decision was made. Bean is a guy who, here are a couple things we know about him. He loves Christmas. Bean loves Christmas.
Yes.
He loves Christmas music.
He had a blog of Christmas music.
He had a blog that was a different Christmas song every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not joking when I say this, by the way, but I have about, gosh, I haven't counted in a while, but something north of 3,000 Christmas CDs.
And every year.
CDs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And every year, I don't know, whenever they start making the announcements, September, October, hey, somebody has a Christmas album coming out. Bean is super geeked.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that if there's a Christmas song, he owns it. I'm guessing that that's just a given. So, Muggs, what did you find? What did you give Bean for Christmas?
Well, believe it or not, a lot of thought did go into purchasing it.
Uh-huh.
I found the Taylor Swift Christmas album.
Let me butt in. Bean also loves Taylor Swift.
Loves her.
And has everything that she's ever done.
Watched her interview on 60 Minutes.
Went to see her in concert this year, bought the concert DVD. All I do is talk to you guys about how much I love T-Swizzle.
So how's that a bad gift? Now, hold on. Continue about the gift. How is it a bad gift, first of all,
I was going to get Bean a Christmas story. I went to Target, that's what they call it around here, and they ran out of the Blu-ray version, and I know Bean doesn't like the regular version, so I was like, well, I'm not going to get him a Christmas story. So I'm walking around, then I see the Taylor Swift Christmas album with a sticker on the front that says exclusively at Target. So I was like, oh, this would be nice. Bean probably, he might have the digital download, probably doesn't get it, leave his home on the island that much to get into a Target store, so I'm going to get him the hard copy of Taylor Swift Christmas album.
Now, how old is it?
Oh, it's about 4 years old.
What? 4 years old.
Well, That's where I went wrong, and that's the only thing you can hold against me because I didn't
led you.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was brand new.
Why wouldn't you?
By the way, even if it was brand new, it's a terrible gift for Bean.
Because who loves Taylor Swift more than I do? What makes you think I wouldn't have heard about that in particular when it's Christmas music?
He has every Christmas CD that's ever been made.
I didn't know it was 4 years old.
It doesn't matter. If it came out that day, he had it.
I did buy it the day it came out 4 years ago. That
wow.
Muggs, when I opened it, I thought, this is a performance art project right now. I'm going to be on a Jimmy Kimmel video YouTube challenge where they give people a gift they obviously already have just to see what the reaction is. I thought, what is Muggs thinking here?
And then he followed that up with, I figured you might have the download, but not the hard copy.
Right. Which doesn't make any sense at all.
Here's the thing about Bean.
Even if I had the download, I could put it on CD if I wanted. And if it's a Target exclusive, it's not available as a digital download.
But here's the thing about Bean. Not a digital download guy. Very important that he have the hard copy CD.
Right.
So the idea that he would just have the download and not the CD is counter to everything we know about Bean.
Well, look,
he'll drive to 7 stores to get a CD.
This is true.
At a good price.
But I didn't know it was 4 years old, and it's the effing thought that counts.
It is. Listen, we're up front with you. It is, and Bean appreciates that.
It is the effing thought that counts. In fact, that's what was in the card that Muggs yes. had along with the gift.
But having said that, I'm just trying to work my way through the thought process.
I am too. Look,
I
thought about buying Ralph the Batman movie on DVD this year. I thought, what a great gift for Ralph. He loves Batman. He'll enjoy that. Oh, wait. He's had it since the second it came out because he loves Batman.
Hardcore fan, probably has everything. You're not gonna scoop me. You're not going to go, hey, you know that one of your favorite artists has a CD out about your favorite time of year? And I'm guessing you didn't know about it. It's unbelievable.
It is, Muggs. Come on. At least admit it's unbelievable that that's what you chose, that that's how your mind works.
I didn't think you left that fortress of a house you live in, so I thought it'd be nice. Hey,
how many times have we talked about when a CD comes out, Bean will drive to 7 different stores because he can get it for $1 less at a Target or something? We made fun of him for being cheap. How many times?
I obviously wasn't paying attention.
To all of those times?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, it's the effing thought that counts.
Yeah.
So thank you very much anyway. Let's talk to Eric. He's on line 7 real quick.
Eric.
Seattle Mariners toaster. Kevin bought one. I had already gotten one from Omar this year. We're going to give it away to you, Eric, if you can answer this question. You are a Mariners fan, right?
Yes, I am.
I like a lot of things.
All right.
A lot.
Not you,
though.
Thank
you. what's your deal? You're living in Southern California now. You from Seattle?
From Washington.
All right.
Washington.
Oh. Okay. Fantastic. Can you tell me the mascot of the Seattle Mariners?
Ooh.
It's the C logo.
No, the mascot, not the logo.
Oh, it's the Mariner Moose.
Mariner Moose, there you go. All right, that's all I need to know. Congratulations. All right.
It's a moose.
Kevin, tell Eric about his gift.
Eric, you won a pro toaster. it's an automatic toaster, compact 2-slice toaster. Cool. Touch housing, and it puts the Seattle Mariners logo right there on the toast.
It says, toast your team.
Toast your team. Congratulations. You are the proud winner of a Mariners
toaster.
Thanks,
guys. Can't wait to eat my Mariners toast.
All right, man. Congratulations. Go team. Thanks for listening,
hey,
dude.
Do you want a Taylor Swift's Christmas CD?
Oh, come on.
We have that available as well. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 6:39.
Thanks for tuning in to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Hey, did I mention Weird Al is coming up on the show today?
Many times, yeah.
Weird Al had the craziest New Year's Eve ever, even for a guy like Weird Al. We'll talk to him on the way. Also, Cousin Sal with a preview of the NFL weekend, and it's Friday. That means the movie beat. Our man, Lightning, you remember for a long time, was the producer of the Kevin and Bean Show and now works at KROQ.com here in the digital department. He's obsessed with all things motorsports, subscribes to all the magazines, spends all of his time on all the websites, and he gets a boner, man, when he sees a story that he hasn't seen before that involves gears. And he contacted us at he was frothing at the mouth last week when he came in and said, oh my God, you gotta see this guy. You gotta see him making the jump. Oh my God, he's blind. He's just, And we said, slow down. What's going on? And apparently the story, Kevin, is Matt Wadsworth is, making the news because he is trying to jump a motorcycle and he is blind. And he now has become, passionate about motorsports and he's not gonna let his disability slow him down. We're gonna talk to Matt in a moment here, but I think we have a clip from the, part one of the making the jump documentary where you can hear Matt in training to jump a motorcycle.
Okay, let's go. First, and second, and we're standing and we're jumping. Grab! And now we're braking. Brake hard.
And now we're going to the hospital.
Perfect.
In this project, I'm having to use every single facet that I've developed over the years to do something which is seemingly relatively simple. Go in a straight line, go over a jump, land. But once you look at the mechanics, it's in no way simple at all. It's probably the most challenging thing I've ever attempted.
Yeah.
You know why? Blind. Yeah. On the phone from the UK, Matt Wadsworth joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The website is makingthejump.com. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thanks very much. It's nice to be with you.
Yes, great to talk to you. Fascinating story. As I said, we had a coworker who was really taken by your story because he loves motorsports so much. How did you decide that motorsports is an area that you wanted to even get involved with?
Well, I was crazy about motorbikes as a kid. And I've been blind all my life.
So you were blind as a kid, and you still loved motorcycles?
Yes, yeah. I loved the sound of them, and the if there was one in the street or I heard one, I'd want to go and sit on it. And I pestered my parents, and I wanted one of those mini bikes.
Right. But then your parents did the right thing, and they said, "Hey, son, blind." So no.
Yeah, no. My parents weren't like that. They said, "Hey, son, blind." Yeah. They tried to put me off. They said, "You can't have one till you're 10. I was 6 at the time. And
well, that's reasonable.
So I kind of forgot about it. And then came to Christmas, and there was a opening my presents, and there was a box, and I opened the box, there was a crash helmet in there. I was like, why have you bought me this? But, oh, you know, you fell off your bike a few weeks ago, and we just thought we'd get you a crash helmet. So you could come to the kitchen for a drink. So I went in the kitchen reluctantly. I put my hand out, and there's this mini bike there.
Sweet.
And, my dad says today he still remembers the look on my face. So that was, you know, that was where it all started happening. We had a field near the house, and I used to go. I mean, every day riding. I learned the way around the field. There was like a concrete play area at one end and a fence at the other. But which, you know, once I crashed into it a few times, I knew it was there.
isn't seeing the landing about 99% of the jump, because you know how much to put on the brakes in the air or to goose it or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. There are two main challenges. The first is to go in a straight line.
Correct.
Because if you can't go in a straight line, you don't hit the jump, and then the rest is irrelevant.
I can see, and I can't go in a straight line.
Yeah. Well, we tried all sorts of things. First of all, we tried having kind of rumble strips at the side of the lane. And, you think that would work. And it was surprising because I could feel the rumble strips, but I didn't know whether to turn left or right. And, of course, you only, when you're on the highway, you know, you only know to turn left and right because you see. So we...
Well, you're telling me that this is challenging, what you're trying to do, Matt? Is that what that's the conclusion I'm drawing here?
Well, a little bit, you know.
All right, we're talking to Matt Wadsworth here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His website is called makingthejump.com, and that is in reference to you wanting to do what exactly on a motorcycle? You want to leave the ground, go up on a ramp, leave the ground, be in the air for a certain amount of time, and then land safely on the other side. That's what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah, and 100 feet is my goal. We're up to the longest jump I've done so far has been 70 feet. And, you know, we're trying to raise some more funds to carry the project on and see it through.
And how are you raising the fund? How are you getting the money for it?
Well, to start it off, I funded a lot of it myself. And then people have been amazing with donations. They've become kind of captivated by the story. And so there's no big kind of corporate backing behind this. It's my venture, but I want people to feel that they have a sense of ownership and that they're part of it. And it seems that people are going with that, and it's pretty amazing.
Well,
so, you know, we got 30 feet to go, and we're just trying to gather as much support as possible and make that happen.
See, this is the difference between you and I. If I was blind, I would be a baby, and I would sit on the couch and go, "I can't see. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do anything." You're like, "I'm going to jump motorcycles."
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
That's life for you. Yeah, you have to. We're all responsible for ourselves and for making things happen, and we live in a world where you can do that. So
yeah.
I'm just amazed that people are interested. It's really cool.
Well, it is very inspirational. And I mean, you do know that most sighted people who ride motorcycles cannot jump 100 feet. I mean, you, by all accounts, I mean, you must be very much aware how difficult this is you're taking on, as it would be for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a question of practice and determination, and I couldn't, you know, weeks ago I couldn't imagine going 30 feet, and then when I'd done 30 feet, I couldn't imagine going 50 feet, and then, you know, it's cumulative, but I'm earning every foot in distance.
Not to repeat myself, but it is important that you know how far you're going. So if you're going to go 70 feet, I mean, how do you know how much to give it when you hit the ramp? How do you know when you're in the air? Like, if you're going to be a little short, does somebody say something to you in your headset? Or?
Yeah. I mean, Mickey is there, and he's giving me directions all the time, and I hope to hear straight. So he's just saying straight.
I see.
Straight.
Okay.
And then he'll say jump, and I know to squat and jump, and then... he'll say land three times, and I usually land between the second and third time that he says it. So, it's taken a lot of practice. And
wow.
I haven't injured myself too badly. I had a couple of crashes, and like everybody does. And there are times when it's scary, when I think, oh, blimey, you know, I need to practice this more. But you just have to.
You're so much better than we are.
Yes, very inspirational, Matt. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you. If you want to go to makingthejump.com, you can see part one of the documentary that Matt is making about this project, and you can also make a contribution there through PayPal or whatever is easy for you, and there's all sorts of things you can get as a result of that and kind of feel part of the process. Take some ownership for what Matt is doing that is making the rest of us all feel like crap. But congratulations to you. I'm so glad you came on with us today. Good luck with the jump. We'll definitely be following this story, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, Matt. Good luck. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:52.
Yep.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
Yep. That's right. Gay. I can't keep him straight.
Yep.
I think that Ralph Garman joined us in studio here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Apparently, he's been watching a lot of Storage Wars.
Yep.
What's happening here, Ralph?
Why does the guy say that?
I knew it last night. It was great. Because that's his signature call when he's raising the bid during the Storage Wars. If you're like, raising your hand because you're bidding.
An
okay, $250. I got 50. I got $250. And you raise your hand because you want to go to $300. Then I go, okay, Kevin's got over $250. You're going once, going twice. In the back, you go, yep.
And, he's got a hat that says, yep, right on the hat.
You just when you think you're going to win, he'll step in and raise the bid on you again, bid you up, and then dump it on you, or else he'll steal the deal away from you. It's
you're too excited
annoying.
About this show.
Oh, I love me some Storage Wars.
Who's coming in next week, Ralph?
Yep.
The married couple or the boyfriend-girlfriend couple are coming
first
in, right?
First of all, guy who doesn't know Storage Wars, Brandy and Jared are not married.
Oh, I thought they were. Yeah,
they're a couple.
They have two children, but they are not married.
It's not really a burn to call him guy who doesn't know Storage
Wars.
Yes,
it is, because I am a Storage Wars expert.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
Well, I'm excited to have them in next week. It's a fascinating job to have, I'll tell you.
They're the owners of the Now and Then thrift store down there in Orange County. That's where they do their business. It all takes place in L.A., so it's kind of cool because it's local scenery. You know, you get to see, today we're going to some storage facility in Norwalk, and we're going to see what we can get down there.
But you know what you get when you get there? A storage facility.
And then you know what you do when you open up the boxes? Gold, baby.
It's
you
not
find
gold.
It's treasure.
It's
buried treasure.
It's
look,
crap.
If you're a treasure hunter, you go on a beach and you're digging up for a chest of Spanish doubloons that a pirate left behind. Yeah, there's a lot of sand on that beach, but when you hit that chest, cha-ching, baby. Yep.
Why are there so many storage lockers and spaces available for sale? Why do so many people walk away from their storage stuff?
Because they...
It's crap!
Because they have a...
That's why!
They have a... You know, they lose their jobs or whatever. They can't keep up on the rent. It's a tough economy.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
It's a boon for Storage Wars right now. People having
I guess so.
Can't afford to keep up on the rent.
Well, it's an awesome show. It's on what? A&E, right?
Yes.
A&E, yeah.
And next week we're going to talk to Jared and Brandy, so I can't
very
wait.
Very excited. All right.
Every time they try to talk, I'm going to go, yep!
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt them.
Interrupt them?
Yeah.
LaQuisha talks about last night's Jersey Shore. That's happening next hour here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Plus, we're going to need some help from the ladies. We got a question for the ladies coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of the ladies, a lot of women in the Showbiz report this morning. Ellen Nordegren
Of course,
the ex-wife of Tiger Woods. She has moved into a $12 million home in North Palm Beach, Florida. She moved there last March after the relationship broke up. But apparently she didn't want to live in some beat-up old fixer-upper mansion. So this week she had the mansion leveled.
Ooh, wait.
Wow.
It was how much?
It was a $12 million mansion in North Palm Beach, Florida.
And she leveled it and started over.
She didn't just make it. No,
she didn't do any renovations, Kevin. She didn't.
Just tore it
she didn't
down?
Put down some new parquet flooring and then
what?
A new coat of paint. Leveled it. And is building from scratch on the property.
What happened?
That's FU money. That's when you got FU money right there. When you can tear down a $12 million mansion and build yourself a nicer mansion.
And then she's going to tear it down again just because she can.
Just because she can.
And Tiger's paying for all of this, of course.
Of course he is.
What happened?
You guys were talking about Jersey Shore. Jenny J. Wow Farley has a new swimwear line.
Yes, she does.
According to...
Yes, she does. This is the one that defies gravity, right?
Yes, it's strapless, so that you don't get any tan lines. However, Jenny does warn that you can't jump up and down quickly or else you'll be showing off your cans to everyone.
Mm-hmm. You won't get any tan lines that way, too.
That's true. If you tan the nude, you won't. More female showbiz news. Porn star Kim Kardashian, according to friends who tell In Touch magazine, is thinking of adopting a baby.
Because she
obviously can't make a relationship work, and she doesn't want to wait to be a mother any longer.
She's rather self-centered.
Do you think?
A little narcissistic. Maybe not her.
One friend says Kim, as an aside, not as the main reason, thinks this might also help rehab her image a little bit if she was a single mother.
No!
Yep. Oh, can you imagine?
Wow. Bad idea.
And while we're talking about porn star Kim Kardashian, interesting website called FeelUnique.com.
Feel Unique.
This week, put together the best of celebrity body parts.
All right.
Mash them together, Frankenstein style, to come up with what they believe, if they combined all these celebrity body parts, would make someone the most desirable woman in the world.
Okay.
So they took Duchess Kate, who just married. This is a British website, mind you. So.
Okay.
Took Duchess Kate, William's wife, took her hair, took Cheryl Cole, the judge on The X Factor, her eyes,
right.
Keira Knightley's cheekbones, Gwyneth Paltrow's chin, Megan Fox's eyebrows, Kate Beckinsale's nose, Angelina Jolie's lips, and Kelly Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Boobs.
Yeah.
Put them all in a blender.
That's pretty good.
Came up with a photograph. It looks just like Kim Kardashian. That's why we find her attractive.
Really? Wow.
Because she's the best combo of everything they have to offer.
Wow. That's weird.
Isn't it? And they didn't mention butt. So that's why we like Kim Kardashian. We can't help ourselves. It's science.
But they use
science.
But they use precious. If it's Kim Kardashian, they ended up using precious for the butt. No? She's not a fat actress.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Big butt.
Okay.
Big butt. Same with the butt.
I got you. Okay.
Come on now.
No, it was good.
I wasn't trying to stop the show. But
no, it was good. It was good.
It was funny because of big butt.
I had to think it out, but I kind of like it. All right, fine.
I felt that part of the problem was in the delivery there. It didn't sound like you really were believing it yourself.
Kim Kardashian for the butt, he's precious.
Come on, man.
I think you knew it was on the fence and it really needed to be sold to win over us.
Today's celebrity birthday is Malcolm Young, guitarist for AC/DC, is 59 years old today.
She has a big butt.
Yeah, she sure does. Rowan Atkinson plays Mr. Bean on television. He's also been in many other feature films and TV shows. 57 years old, former NFL player. And current TV analyst Howie Long is 52. John Singleton is 44 years old today. Julie Chen, TV personality from The Talk and Big Brother, is 42. Danny Pintaro from Who's the Boss is 36. And Arctic Monkeys singer-guitarist Alex Turner turns 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We talked about this story a couple days ago. But a lot of people are still debating whether this woman is doing the right thing or not. If you missed it, suburban Chicago police officer wrote a lady a ticket, $132 speeding ticket, and they went on their separate ways. And then he, having her address from the driver's license that she handed over, decided, hey, she's pretty hot. I should have asked her out, or maybe now I will. So he drove her to her house, and he put a note under the windshield wiper of her car. So she comes out, and there's a note from the cop who a couple days previously had given her a traffic ticket asking her out.
Hmm.
Now, the note, do you still have the note, Bean?
I do.
Okay.
It's Chris, that ugly bald cop who gave you that ticket. I know this may seem crazy, and you're probably right, but truth is, I have not stopped thinking about you since. I don't expect a girl as attractive as you to even go for a guy like me, but I'm taking a shot anyway. I understand if you don't get in touch, but hey, I did cost you $132. The least I can do is buy you dinner.
Now, on the surface of it, when you just tell the story without the note, pretty damn creepy.
Yeah.
The note seems really normal and humble, and look, it's cool if you don't. I know this is crazy, but there's just something about you. So, the note makes me, I may not want to go out with him, but it doesn't, it makes it okay.
All right, no.
It makes it less creepy because he doesn't seem like a weirdo stalker. He seems like a regular guy who is breaking his own protocol just because he found you so attractive.
Right.
Now we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you have an opinion on what she did next.
Well, what she did next is file a lawsuit, ladies and gentlemen, because this is America, Bean. Why not?
File a lawsuit.
She filed a lawsuit, and here's what the lawsuit said. The letter caused the plaintiff to suffer great fear and anxiety. Plaintiff could not believe that a police officer would use his access to her personal information to find her home and stalk her. Now, isn't stalking a little bit extreme based on the information that we have in this story? If he went to her house one time and put a note on a windshield, is that really stalking?
And on a windshield, he didn't even walk up to the door.
Right. Right. I doubt it, but I think the creepy factor is she didn't have any choice except to give him her home address.
Right. So that is true.
He got that information while working.
Right.
And she had no choice. So now he's using his position of power to go back and track her down. Yeah, the note's not overtly, you know, threatening or anything, but it is a little creepy that the dude that gave you a ticket is going to then put a note on your car in your driveway. I don't know. It feels a little creepy to me.
But he didn't use his position of power to break into her home and install a webcam.
Right.
I mean, he left a piece of paper on her car. I mean, how much of an abuse of power is that, really?
All right, let's talk to Jody.
Okay.
She has an idea of it, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking for girls who have, like, what's your take on it?
Strong opinion.
Would you be freaked out by it?
And I'm glad we are taking calls specifically from women here at 1-800-520-1067, because it is hard for me to put myself in the shoes of what it must have been like for this young woman. And by the way, bad job, media, for not showing me her picture. Yeah. How hot does this chick have to be for the cop 2 days later to find, you know, to go over to her house and leave a note?
They have a picture of the cop, though, Bean?
They don't have a picture of anybody.
Oh,
but that should be in this story.
Agreed.
Is what I'm saying. She's 27 years old, and I can't put myself in her shoes of what it must be like. And Lisa, you brought this up a couple days ago. We mentioned this story briefly. Who knows what kind of crazy history she has where maybe she's ultra sensitive to being pursued like this because she's had trouble with a stalker in the past or whatever. We don't know anything about that.
Right. And it does occur to me, if the note were written differently, I would have a very different opinion of it.
So blanket-wise,
probably a bad idea.
Now, the note is in blood. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. He did write it with his own blood.
You didn't mention that.
But what would you think if you were that lady? Should she just be flattered? Should she be upset? Should she contact the police department and have the guy reprimanded? Should she contact the guy and say, don't ever come near me again? Or should she do what she's done, which is file a lawsuit? Let's see what Jody's got to say about this here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jody. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. I totally think that she should be flattered. I mean, what she did is terrible. He was being honest, sincere, and she's just, her behavior is atrocious.
So
doesn't she know how to take a compliment?
So at the very worst, she should just turn it down and not worry about it. The lawsuit.
Absolutely.
Or ignore it or whatever, but don't make a big federal case out of it, right?
Right. Right.
Now, what about Kevin's point that this would have been different if it was a guy who lived in the neighborhood that saw her walk into a car one day and thought she was cute and wanted to approach her and left a note? This is a guy who used, you know, information that she involuntarily had to offer to him in the course of doing his job to be able to find out where she lived. Does that change your opinion at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's maybe a little bit of a factor, but not lawsuit worthy. I mean, the whole litigious society thing has me really, disturbed.
I totally agree with you. The lawsuit is absurd,
But I just, I find it a little creepy. That's
they,
all.
They probably shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I'm, well, thank you for the call,
sure
Jody.
I'm sure they're not. Yeah.
Let's try Danielle, by the way. Danielle's on line one, joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Police officer gives a woman a speeding ticket. 2 days later, goes to her house, leaves a note under her windshield, says, hey, I can't stop thinking about you. I'd like to go out. Does that sound all right to you? Is that just a guy meeting a woman in the course of doing his job like the, like all of us do every day? Or does it take it too far? What do you say, Danielle?
Takes it too far. If he had asked her out right there, that would be different. But the follow-up, going to her house and leaving a note on the car, it's a little beyond the scope of everyday meeting.
What do you think the woman's response should have been when she saw the note on her car windshield?
It should not have been a lawsuit. It should have been a call to the station like, hey, somebody should look into this. Because who knows what else he's doing with information that he's gained. He's got access to so much information,
yeah,
being an officer.
Yeah.
And who else? Who knows what else he's doing? And if what if she turns him down and he gets angry and he starts showing up at her house every day?
Well, no. I don't think we have any reason to believe he's a crazy stalker, though. I mean, the note certainly doesn't sound like he's a crazy stalker.
No, but the follow-up does.
Yeah, the fact that he tracked down her address and went and left a note, it's not a big red flag, but there's a tiny little red flag there.
But yeah, you've been smitten flag. Where you just had to find her, haven't you?
Yes, but you know what you do is you don't give her a ticket. I mean, that's step one. You
isn't that sort of bribery?
You pull her over. If she's hot and you want to date her, you still get the information.
I think Lisa's right. I think the cop gets in way more trouble if he says, yeah, I should give you a $132 speeding ticket, but instead I'm going to ask you out and maybe we'll forget about the ticket. I mean, now you really are getting into an offering a bribe kind of situation.
I agree.
Only if they find out that he pulled her over.
Right.
If
I'm saying
give her a ticket, they don't know that she pulled over.
That's true, but I guess that's true, yeah.
I'm saying he doesn't ask her out right at the moment. I'm saying it's the exact same situation where he tracks her down afterwards. I think it would have increased his chances had he not written her a ticket.
Is that what you're worried about, his chances?
I'm just saying it was a bad move on his part.
Danielle, glad you called. Thanks so much. We're going to take a break. We got plenty more calls on this with some different opinions too. 1-800-520-1067. Was the cop out of line? And then is the woman out of line for filing a lawsuit? And what's going to happen with this? I have no idea. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Don't forget your chance to win Coldplay tickets are coming up at 9 a.m. this morning.
Oh, me.
May 1st, May 2nd, Hollywood Bowl. You get tickets for that. And then you also qualify to get on the standby boarding list for a trip for two to Madrid, Spain.
Nice.
How about that?
Not you.
No. You work right here. You can't get it.
9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Particularly looking for ladies to comment on the story that we broke a couple of days ago, but now we have time to discuss. The police officer who pulls over a woman in Illinois, gives her a speeding ticket, thinks how hot she is. A couple days later, goes to her house, leaves a note on her car saying, hey, I'm the cop who pulled you over. I'd like to go out with you. I know this is crazy, but let me know. Well, she did let him know by filing a lawsuit saying that she's terrified. And we're talking about whether this is an overreaction on her part and whether this is way out of line on his part. We got some fascinating emails on this topic. Listen to this one from Kathy. This is just like a lot of sexual harassment cases, she says. If women find men attractive that harass them, they don't report it because they don't mind it.
That's right. How hot is he?
If she thought he was cute, she would have been flattered by the gesture and probably called him. Lisa, your thoughts on that?
I agree.
Yeah.
Does it make it makes a difference, right?
It does make a difference.
So if you're an ugly dude, be careful.
He didn't describe himself pleasingly.
No, he didn't.
No, he did say he was fat and bald.
Yeah.
Right? Ken writes in, I was a bartender. I took down the address of this girl that I carded when I checked her ID for age. I thought she was very attractive. Well, I did the exact same thing as the police officer you're talking about. I dropped her a note on her car the next day. It almost word for word said the same thing that the cop did, minus the bald part. She called me and we dated for a few months after that. What's the difference? Ken is saying in the course of him doing his job, he got a woman's address, asked her out, same as cop. She ended up going out with him. This woman's filing a lawsuit. What's the difference?
I think the difference is that he's an officer of the law, which puts him in a position of power,
right,
that he's abusing. Now, is this a lawsuit? I don't think so at all. I think the lawsuit to me, is ridiculous.
But a cop could make your life very difficult if he wanted
to. Of course. I'm just saying, to me, it strikes me as a little creepy.
Yeah.
Let's see what Aaliyah has to say. She is calling us on line 3 here on the Kevin Bean Show. Aaliyah, thanks for dialing us up. Thanks for listening. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi. And it's Aaliyah. Sorry.
Aaliyah. Aaliyah. Yeah. So sorry.
No problem. I think she should have been flattered. And if he had continued to contact her and leave her more notes, then file a lawsuit. I mean, the dude's out of a job now, right?
Well, it doesn't say. It doesn't say in the article if what the police action is against him, if it's an investigation or he's suspended or anything like that. We don't know yet. I know that the police are not happy when a lawsuit is filed against one of their officers.
No, but it does seem like she jumped to a quick conclusion filing a lawsuit. I mean, you're right. Maybe try to ignore or let him know that she's not available. And then if something else happens, now you can do something.
On the surface, it seems
smart about it and then appeared to court to pay the ticket or try to fight it. She could have met him there and then he could have waived the ticket.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to court to fight this ticket on the 23rd. If you're not there, we can go out.
There you go.
That's a win-win right there.
I'll get something out of it.
Thank you for the call. Alma writes in, by the way, saying, hey, this isn't stalking, remember. Stalking means more than once. She is paranoid. Police officers are human, and I'm sure it took a lot of balls for him to do that, to even ask her out. She should have just said, no thank you, I'm flattered, but no thanks. If he kept pressuring her after that, then it's stalking. Is what Alma says.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. But let's try Karen a tiny bit off topic. She's on line 6. I think she has a similar story to share with us. Karen, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
So when I was in college as a waitress, I had a lot of different police officers come into the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And one night after my shift, it was like 1 in the morning and I was already on the freeway. I had a police officer pull me over and said that I had waited on him earlier in the evening and he waited to and then pulled me over to ask me out.
And
it completely creeped me out.
Yeah, that's a little weird. It's a little weird because had he asked you at the restaurant, you probably would have been fine with it.
Yeah, and he was attractive. It just creeped me out to think that someone waited hours and then waited to follow me until I was on the freeway.
Right.
Yeah. No kidding. So what'd you do?
I didn't report it, and I definitely didn't file a lawsuit because I was super creeped out that the last thing I want to do is piss someone off like that.
Right, but did anything else come of it? Or
did you go out?
No.
Oh, all right.
By the way, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Karen. And some people have pointed out, by the way, and I never even thought of this. Yeah, this is a guy who has a gun, too. Remember that. Well, whatever your decision is going to be, remember that he's packing. And let me read one more email. This is from Nima. I tried calling. I couldn't get through. I wanted to point out that some girls are really heavy on the flirting, especially to get out of a ticket. This cop may have interpreted her flirting as genuine interest and made a decision that he never imagined would backfire like that. Interesting, right?
Yeah, that is.
I'm 30 and I'm a physician. I get patients, other women, flirting with me all the time. I've never peeked at their registration info to land at 8, but I could see how someone on the receiving end of flirting and in a moment of poor decision making would be tempted to do so, says Nima. By the way, I'm going to start going to Nima.
No,
Nima sounds like a goer.
Let's
love
talk
that.
To a police officer.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
How about that? Jeremy, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So you're a police officer. You've tried this?
Yeah, I've actually done it twice. Twice. I didn't actually give the ticket, like Lisa said. I actually let him go.
All right, Jeremy. So let's just nail that down. If you're a cop and you find somebody attractive and you want to ask her out, you don't give her a ticket.
Yeah, no, you don't.
The guy's a bonehead.
Hates everything, you know, because you're trying to talk to the girl and trying to see if you make her interested. If you give her a ticket, she's just going to get upset and then it's going to go the other direction.
Okay, so you said, I'm giving you a warning. Did you ask her out there or did you then, like he did, get the address of her, you know, her home, show up, knock on, leave a note, whatever?
Well, you know, I never did the address thing.
Never did that.
First one, I talked to her right then and there after I was done giving her the warning. And then the second one, I waited a couple days later as well, but it wasn't, I actually called her. Cause I got her information, so I'm not going to go to the house. It's a, you know, it is a little, you know, too much there. But
you think the house problem is the thing? Like if you text her or call her, you're not at her house, so that's probably less scary.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, a lot of people seem to think like, you know, how did you get my address, or you know, why are you even coming to my house? So I didn't want to, you know, go that far.
Right.
I just gave her a quick call, and
did it work out?
Actually, yeah, it did. It worked out for
both. Huh. Jeremy? What are the rules if What's you're a police officer? And I know they may be different from, you know, jurisdiction to jurisdiction. I mean, are you advised to not ask out people that you come in contact with through the course of your duties?
Yeah, because we're on duty and we're not allowed to do that. But you know, like Lisa May said, or I think it was Kevin, you know, they're not really tracking everything we're doing, so there's no way of them actually knowing that we pulled somebody over or not.
Right. So you did it, and then you came on the radio to talk about it.
Yeah, they don't know who I am. So
good man. All right, Jeremy. We always appreciate the perspective from the law. Thanks for the call, dude.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, man.
All right, Bean. What do you think? Is LaQuisha going to be happy?
I think she's devastated that there was like 2 weeks off between Jersey Shore seasons. I think she was hoping it would go away for about a year before it came back, but she watches so we don't have to. And Jersey Shore, ladies and gentlemen, came back for another season on MTV. LaQuisha, Happy New Year, my dear. How are you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's how it's going to be. Okay. What's going on? What's the latest?
You tell me what's going on. I thought slavery was abolished.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
Then
that's ridiculous.
Why are you making me watch this damn show again?
You love it and you know it.
I used to love it.
Yeah.
And now it's like you fall in love and you get married.
Right.
And then you find out that your husband's a serial killer.
Right.
Well, you may be exaggerating, but you have had to endure a lot of Jersey Shore lately. I mean, literally, the season just ended like a couple of weeks ago, and now they're back. What are they, back in Seaside, and it's season 5, right?
That's right. And the season literally go back to back just like their trip did. They got on a plane in Italy at the end of that show, landed in New York, and drove straight to the Shore House in New Jersey.
Wow.
Oh, not a break.
So they didn't get a break neither. But them, what they do is a lot easier than what I have to do, which is watch what they do.
You love it.
They get off the plane, and Ronnie, everybody's so happy to be back in the USA. Ronnie, I think, just puts it very eloquently.
We're so excited to see America. I feel like I was at boarding school, and America's my mother, and I'm coming home to my mother right now.
Well, turns out you are coming home to your mother because your mother lives here in America, Ronnie. And in fact, there's a big surprise party waiting for all them in Seaside when they come back with all their loved ones and their families and their friends, so they get to see everybody before they start living in the Jersey Shore House again. Now, the big concern is, where's the situation going to room? Where's he going to be staying? Because nobody wants to deal with his craziness.
Right.
So everybody starts, even before they get off the shuttle van to the house, start claiming what beds they're going to sleep in, and Snooki telling everybody that she wants her same bed.
My bed is my bed, and like I peed in it last year, so who would want to sleep in that bed?
All right. Oh, wonderful.
All right. Wonderful. She's marking her territory. I like
it. Yes, she is, like the skunk rat that she is. Now, her bed's not the only thing Snooki missed about Seaside. She got herself some pickles, and you know how Snooki loves pickles.
She really does.
I never knew how much I miss pickles and pickle juice. It's like an overwhelming feeling that I can't even explain. I mean, it's just weird.
Now, is pickles and pickle juice a euphemism in this case, or is she actually talking about pickles and pickle juice?
I think, as you know from the show last night, that she really does eat pickles and drink the juice out of the jar. She's crazy about pickles.
She was drinking it all. She emptied a pickle jar full of juice. She drank it down like Gatorade.
Yeah.
So first thing they have to do is check in to where they're going to be working again on the boardwalk where they sell those T-shirts.
Finally, we're hitting the boardwalk. We all decided to go and check out the Shore store because we are going to be working there again.
MTV, stop it!
Why do they keep doing this? They're making $100,000 an episode and they're pretending they're working a T-shirt.
Nothing makes $500,000 to show up in a bar in Vegas and pop a champagne bottle. Nobody believes they have to work at a T-shirt store anymore.
That's ridiculous.
We are not stupid, MTV. Stop doing this. Nothing good happens in that store for this show anyway. Oh, here's Paulie putting an iron on a T-shirt. No, we don't care. Stop it. Stop it.
What do you think?
LaQuisha is about this close to driving to New Jersey and shooting somebody.
Problem in Italy was no gym, no tanning salon,
sure,
no good laundry facility.
Right.
Oh.
So the first thing they want to do when they get back to Seaside Heights is to get their GTL on, especially their tea.
This is a severe situation right now. We're losing weight and we're getting pale. It's like the end of civilization.
It is like that.
It's exactly like the end of civilization.
It is like the end of civilization.
Right.
It's like sticking a stick into an anthill.
Yep.
they think that's the end of their civilization. But those of us who are evolved beings can look down on those insects and step on them.
It's weird, LaQuisha, that they're all still so committed to that bizarre orange tan, because I thought some of them were trying to, you know, lose a little weight and improve their image a little bit and, you know, and kind of look like regular people, but no.
Well, not the boys. They don't want to lose no weight. They have to get big, and they'd be juice heads, gorillas, sure. Whatever they call them. They need all kinds of muscles and all kinds of tan.
And bright orange is what they want.
Now, the problem is when they had this big party, everybody comes back. Situation's friend, Unit. The Unit.
The Unit.
Situation and his friend, Johnny the Unit.
Right.
Are hanging out together, but Snooki's there with her boyfriend, Gianni. And you remember from last season, that Situation said he hooked up with Snooki.
Oh, right, and then they broke up because of it.
That's right, and she said, no, I didn't. And Situation said, yeah, you better come clean. Say, 2 months ago, we did that. And the Unit was in the room, and he witnessed it all. So now Snooki's confronted with the person who knows the truth. And she does not like the fact that he's lingering around and Gianni could find out. So she has some choice words for the Unit.
You got me?
No, stop.
You got me?
Stop.
Unit? Your name's Unit, you moron. Okay, Unit. Get real, bitch. Get real, you're such an idiot.
Can I talk to you for 5 seconds?
No, I don't like him.
A girl named Snooki is making fun of a guy's name.
That's like Shakespeare.
That really is. They are magical people. Now, Mike's going to bring the Unit back to the house after the party to make things even more uncomfortable for Snooki.
Sure.
It's off to the house. My boy Johnny Unit is coming with me. At any moment, something could pop off. This is Hurricane Situation, okay? And it's heading straight for Snooki Island.
Yeah.
Snooki Island.
By the way, a Survivor this season is going to be on Snooki Island.
Is that right?
Survivor Snooki Island. Wow. Yeah. When you get voted off, they drop you in a big fake tanning pit. Well, here's the only sad part of the show, in my opinion. Vinny, who is so close to his mama, sees her at this party, and then everybody goes away, and they got to go back to filming their show. He goes into a deep depression because he misses his family so much, and he's moping around the house, and he makes a shocking decision at the end of this episode.
I'm about to bounce, bro.
Nah, I think that's a better decision, bro.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
This is starting to get crazy. I'm like, how do I talk this kid off the ledge? Because I know right now he wants to jump.
I got nothing left to give, man. I want to go home.
He's got nothing left to give, man.
He's got nothing left to give.
He can't. It's so hard going out drinking what? Every night and having sex with strangers and having cameras follow you around. He's got nothing left to give. He can't give us any more. He's given us so much already.
He didn't just do his second back-to-back tour in Iraq, right?
No, he went to Indy on MTV's dime, and now he's living in Jersey on MTV's dime.
Right.
Enjoying all the celebrity status of someone who actually does something.
Right.
But he's got nothing left to give.
He can't do it anymore. It takes too much.
I think he got something to give. Give us your internal organs so we can transplant them into people who would not waste their lives like you. Shut up, Vinny.
LaQuisha, I'm sensing that perhaps you don't like this show anymore.
I'm got cut them all. I don't care. I'll go down there at Seaside Heights and I'll take everybody out. I'm showing up to that T-shirt store and there's going to be some bloody T-shirts.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Maybe.
Cousin Sal talks NFL playoff football for us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got more Coldplay tickets. Weird Al joins us on the show. And we've put in a phone call, Ralph. I don't know if you heard of this or not, but we put in a phone call to the Kevin and Bean Hip Hop Bureau. We haven't talked to them
good.
In a while.
Yes.
But we've got a guy who is an expert on all things rap who's going to explain to us about Kanye's meltdown the other night on his three-hour Twitter rap and how he's going to change the world with his new company, Donda.
Yeah, can't wait for Donda.
Oh, sweet.
So we're going to hear all about Donda coming up right after the top of the hour and how everything's different now. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening?
First of all, here's a memo to Donda executives. Nothing's less hip-hop than the Jetsons. They need to have a big meeting about that over at Donda Worldwide.
No, Kanye wants to bring that back and produce that movie.
I understand that, but that is not hip nor hop right there.
That's true. It's neither.
Here's the thing. Kim Kardashian is starting to get on my nerves.
Who?
starting.
Sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian.
Thank you.
She's everywhere. She's she is all things to all people, and seems like the worse she behaves and the more hateable she is, the more exposure she's getting.
That's true.
Now, according to In Touch magazine, she is thinking of adopting a baby.
Oh, no, new, new,
we have to
new.
Put a stop to that, right?
Yes, we do.
So it turns out she can't make a relationship work, yet she desperately wants to have a baby because, I guess, because Courtney has one, as now two, on one on the way. And Chloe, I think, is in the midst of some sort of a bizarre science experiment to try to have a creature of her own. So I think she's feeling a little pressure that she maybe she needs the latest Kardashian accessory, which is to have a baby. So we gotta put a stop to that somehow.
Agreed.
Yeah. Maybe she can talk about her baby in her new magazine. Yeah. Congratulations to someone who actually deserves a little fame and fortune. Mila Kunis is the new face of Christian Dior. Her ads for the Dior handbag line debuted internationally this week. She joins A-list stars like Marion Cotillard and Charlize Theron.
Wow.
And Natalie Portman.
That's a good group to be a part of.
As a spokesperson for the French fashion house. So, yeah, they do a good job with picking their people, don't they?
No kidding.
Michael Jackson's dad, Joe, in a bit of legal trouble. He was trying to make a buck off his dead son's name by releasing a line of fragrances.
Really?
With Jackson's name on them. For men, it was Jackson's tribute. For women, Jackson's legend. But turns out there's a company that actually owns the rights to Michael Jackson's name and likeness. So they slapped a cease and desist order on his own father and told him he couldn't make any money off his son's name. So you will not be able to smell like Michael Jackson.
I don't want to.
Which is oddly like Kool-Aid and Bengay. I understand that at all. Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl has a secret, super secret project going on.
Is that right?
He recorded a new song with two members of the 80s hair metal band Rat.
Of course he did.
He's the best.
Got together with Stephen Piercy and Warren DeMartini to record a new track for Dave's new project, but they said, and when asked, they cannot reveal what it is.
What was Rat's big hit?
Round and Round.
Round and Round, yeah. Dave posted on Foo's official blog, by the way, that he's already putting together song ideas for the next Foo Fighters album, but this seems to be a separate Dave Grohl project. So we're not sure what it is, but we know it involves Rat.
Okay.
That's got to be good.
Would not have predicted that.
The Rat Fighters. Today's celebrity birthdays, Malcolm Young of AC/DC. Is 59 years old today. Now, is he the guy who wears the shorts and the hat?
No, that's Angus. So. This is his brother. Okay. His brother.
All right. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean.
He's the guy who wears the shorts at AC/DC.
No, it's not. He's Mr. Bean on television and in the movies. Also, Johnny English, 57 years old. Former NFL player and current TV analyst with Fox, Howie Long, is 52. He's still a big man, that Howie Long.
He sure is.
Bear monster. Man.
They're yucking it up so much, and I love that. That's my choice, that little Fox Sunday morning get-together that they have.
Yeah.
But everybody else is having such a great time. Terry is, you know, laughing it up. And
That's funny.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach What's-His-Face is there,
yeah,
Jimmy
Coach
Johnson.
Sure.
But Howie always looks, like, just disgusted by the proceedings. Like, he's just so miserable there. He's just so dour. He's never smiling. Everybody else having such a good time. What's up with that dude?
Because he's in between a gap-toothed idiot and a bald idiot.
Yeah.
And he's got real football things to talk about. Football's serious, Bean. That's why it's not a laughing matter.
Right, but everybody else up there has already also won a Super Bowl. It's not like these are hacks that he's having to be forced to work with, but they're all enjoying themselves, having a great time.
I'll
he
tell
just
you
looks
what,
miserable
I'll tell
every
you
week.
Genuinely what I think it is. I think Howie still wants to play.
Oh, really?
I get
the sense that Howie is really angry that he's still not out there on the field, and the rest of them seem more than happy to have let that part of their life
go by.
That's
interesting.
Howie's still a physical specimen. I think he felt when he left that he still had something in the tank, and I think he's got a little bit of regret
that makes
he would
sense.
Like to be out there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow. I didn't expect a real answer to my question, but thank you.
He has that kind of passion, I think.
Could be
honest. He really wants to be out there. Julie Chen from CBS on Big Brother and the Talk. She's 42 years old. Danny Pintaro from Who's the Boss is 36. And Arctic Monkeys singer and guitarist Alex Turner celebrates his 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A couple of nights ago, Kanye West, who, Kevin, you were saying you used to follow on Twitter but kind of lost interest, kind of dropped him, right? Because he got boring on you.
Yeah, he used to tweet really bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Really obnoxious, and I love that. But then he stopped tweeting for the most part. He just disappeared.
So, yeah, well, he was laying low. He was saving it all up for an explosion of tweets on Wednesday night. For about 3 hours, he nonstop tweeted about how he was going to change the world. And he had a lot of crazy stuff, too much for my little brain to analyze. So we put in a call to the Kevin Bean hip-hop department. We don't talk to them very often, I got to be honest. And our friend Jensen Karp is on the phone. Jensen, we've talked to before, is the owner of the Gallery 1988 on Melrose, which is a fantastic art gallery. But he also has a very extensive background in hip-hop. Jensen, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, man. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning, guys.
Hi. You were, if I remember correctly, as a kid, you had a major label record deal as a white rapper, right?
I did. The thing is I'm sort of the explanation of what the pioneers of hip-hop didn't want, speaking for hip-hop. I'm a Jewish kid from Calabasas, California.
Yeah.
I got a record deal off a radio contest here in L.A., actually, at an urban station, like a $1 million deal at Interscope as a kid. And since then, I sort of realized, don't want rappers that look like accountants. You know, like going around. So I got an art gallery with that money, and now I just watch hip hop as sort of the most progressive watcher ever. I analyze it to a point that most people shouldn't be doing it.
Jensen also has a very popular podcast as part of the Spodcast Network that Kevin Smith has, where that's what they do, is they talk about hip hop. So that's why I thought you'd be a fantastic guy to get on the line, because I know, look, anyone who loves hip hop loves Kanye West. I mean, he is he's got to be one of the top three guys in the game today, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I also like public breakdowns.
Yeah, he's also very...
It's kind of a great intersection.
He's also very polarizing. You either hate him or you love him, and then you're right, when he breaks down, that's why Twitter is so great, because...
It's unfiltered.
Well, yeah, because when Kanye breaks down, we get to see it.
could you imagine if there was Twitter when, like, Margot Kidder freaked out, or, like, Ann Hayes, like, walked around Thousand Oaks asking where aliens were? Like,
it is...
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So when so I know you follow Kanye. So when the tweets started coming a little more fast, a little more furious than usual, you recognized early on, because I follow you and I saw what you were tweeting. You knew that something special was about to happen.
Well, you know, he started off with a very sweet little tweet, nothing that would make you sort of freak out, which was just, I love being back at my fashion office learning and creating, which is kind of funny because no one calls it their fashion office.
Right.
you don't really have to distinguish what office it is. It's so challenging and fun, and I'm surrounded by amazing people. Very sweet, Kanye. What a very nice thought. You know what I mean? And so you look at that, and you're just like, oh, that's not really going to freak out. And then he gets into one pretty immediately. You guys might think I might have some type of backing for my line, but I don't. He's at this point averaging once every maybe 3 seconds with a tweet, already immediately within about 5-10 minutes.
Once every three seconds. So he was just basically just his thumbs were on fire.
Oh, on fire. I mean, I printed this out as a Word document so I can go over it with you guys.
Sweet.
It's 5 pages.
Wow.
I mean, this is longer than like George Orwell's Animal Farm. It's crazy. Let me give you some other dandies. He's been working on his clothing line for 8 years now. He received, you know, offers from Urban Clothing Line that he turned down. He's been begging Bape. These are all separate tweets, by the way. I moved to Japan for 1 month after that, and I designed every night in my room. So he's sort of making it seem like his life has been one really amazing anime film.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he moved to Japan, and he's now technically working every single day in his room on a clothing line. I snuck to Giuseppe Zanotti's, I don't even know who this is. I snuck into Giuseppe Zanotti's factory, still under contract, and learned to design women's shoes for 2 years before my first show in Paris.
What?
Okay, why is he telling all of this to us now in 2012, though?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, he really, this is sort of like the worst state of the crazy union. So he just sort of breaks down so many things. Like, after doing my first Louis Vuitton collection, I was sure I would get the opportunity, second shot to create, but was never given that opportunity. I designed a sneaker called the Yeezy for Nike. All, by the way, all separate tweets here. So sure. each sentence is a separate one. Sure. I'm allowed to design one pair of sneakers every 2 years. Like, number one, who's allowing him to make shoes every, like, did they tell him, listen, I mean, I see how he tweets, so I can understand Nike being like, slow down, Kanye.
Sure, yeah.
You get one for 2 years.
Right.
But he goes on to say that he had this embarrassingly small Paris studio, like he was like, you know, like Geppetto working on Pinocchio, in a courtyard opposite Colette. I remember being 5 years old, picking up my mother picking me up and taking her shopping for discount fur spots. I mean, it was just over and
right.
over.
This is
and
weird.
Over.
It's like he's being hypnotized and he's just got random images coming to the front of his mind that he has to explain. It's weird.
Jensen, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you think, and of course we're just guessing,
yes,
that this is coming through the prism of A, alcohol, or B, weed, or some other...
Well, I mean, at one point he did say, you know, it's 5:18 here in London. My dreams keep me awoke, which is number one, great grammar.
Okay, good, good.
But beyond that, you have to wonder who his dreams dealer is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It's pretty crazy that you, I mean, I have pages upon pages when he starts getting into this Jetsons movie. Have you guys, did now, you guys read about that?
Well, yeah, what, is there a Jetsons movie?
Well, today's New York Magazine, the great people over at Vulture, did speak with the people who have produced the Jetsons, which, by the way, is shocking to everyone that there's a Jetsons movie even thought about. But the Jetsons movie's not in production. They had a phone call with him last week because, I guess, for the, again, more complexities to the character than is Kanye West. For the last 2 years, he's been looking into trying to be involved in the production of a Jetsons movie. So he finally got the studio that owns the rights. They have no director. They have no writer. The director is the person who would hire this creative director, he says he is. But, you know, again, he just sort of jumps the gun and talks in almost a rapid-fire, free submission way.
Is the Jetsons movie, is that going to be from the film division of his Donda Worldwide Enterprise that has 22 divisions to change the world?
I'm happy you got to that point, because that really was the focus of this Twitter explosion, which was he was announcing his brand new business venture, which is called Donda, which is a very sweet name because it's named after his deceased mother. And so he really wanted to go out with a bang, I guess, explaining this Donda. But it's a creative, I'm trying to even try to explain it. It's sort of a collective, a creative collective that will have 22 different divisions. I'm happy that he broke it down and got us the exact number. But they're going to be working on things like obviously music and clothing. And on top of that, he's asking for so many different professions to contact him. I mean, do you guys have that one in front of you?
No, but I mean, he literally was looking for like almost any job there is. He wants you to contact him to apply to be part of this Donda collective, right? I mean, he's looking for people who can do everything.
Can I read you the team he's looking for?
Please. Yes, please do.
Okay. I'm a set member. This is over 4 tweets, so keep that in mind if you're a big Twitter person. I am assembling a team of architects, graphic designers, directors, musicians, producers, A&Rs, writers, publicists, social media experts, app guys, managers, car designers, clothing designers, DJs, video game designers, publishers, tech guys, lawyers, bankers, here's my favorite, nutritionists, doctors, scientists, and teachers.
So basically, the unemployment problem in America has just been solved by Kanye West, because it sounds like he's going to hire about 200,000 people to run his company.
Yeah, I mean, I think we found Obama's solution here. It's Donda.
At what point did he start mentioning that he was going to change the world? Now that Steve Jobs is gone, that position is open, and he's going to step in and fill it.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one from him. When I said wealthy people that I wanted to help, smart, talented, wealthy people, I wanted to point out that there are so many billionaires in the world that could come together and help redesign it. Help education. School systems were designed to turn people into factory workers. By the way, taking a stand against school is not necessarily a popular stand.
Yeah.
Spike Jones, by the way, he brought Spike Jones into it, which I tend to think Spike Jones was home in Silver Lake being like, keep my name out of this.
Of course.
Spike Jones and I want to do a summer school that tries new forms of curriculum. Math classes should teach addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, accounting, and money management, and cut, unless you're a math major.
Now he's trying to redesign the math teaching in the United States?
Exactly.
But he hates math majors.
Oh, he's
This is the voice of Jensen Karp on the phone with us, by the way, who is our hip-hop correspondent on the Kevin Beach, which you probably didn't even realize, Jensen, until the phone rang. Today we're talking about Kanye West and his Twitter explosion on Wednesday night. We're almost out of time, but I have to ask you this, because you've been following Kanye for a long time, and you've seen him go through these phases, these spurts of creativity before.
Yeah, his first songs he ever recorded was with me back in the day when I was a kid.
No really? Kidding. How about that?
Yeah.
Will anything come of this, or did he wake up the next morning and go, I don't know what all that was about, but I'm not doing any of it? Or do you think he really does think he's going to get involved in all these areas and start up some new companies, and we're going to see something beyond what we've seen from Kanye before?
Kanye has had he's a very talented person. He's extremely talented.
Agreed.
But he's also had a very lucky Forrest Gump life. To say that he wouldn't be able to come back from a weird 4-page Twitter rant
would be underestimating him. He's done way crazier. This won't be the only time I'm your hip-hop correspondent talking about Kanye West.
Fantastic.
He's a insane human being. I think that he throws out things like this clothing line and Jetsons movie, and none of that stuff's going to happen. But at the same time, he'll come back. He makes good music. He does good tours. I don't think this is going to necessarily hurt him. And by the way, it's more exciting than Young Jeezy. It's more exciting than some of the other rappers that everybody thinks are saving hip-hop. At least we could talk about these guys in sort of a fun,
exactly,
and political way. Yeah.
Follow Jensen at JensenClan88 on Twitter. The website for the gallery is gallery1988.com. And you can check out his hip-hop podcast, Get Up On This, available through smobcast.com. Jensen, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great weekend.
Dude, thank you, guys. Take care.
What? It's already Friday and time for the first movie beat of 2012? Yeah.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Three new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend that can only mean one thing. Mission Impossible will be number one again. Because these movies are small, little, somewhat interesting films, but they're not going to put a dent in the box office. Let's go over them. Maybe you've seen everything else. Maybe there's something you'd like to check out opening up this weekend. First is Roadie. This is a dramedy about a roadie who has spent 20 years on the road with the Blue Oyster Cult. BOC! Woo! Don't feel the reaper!
What else you got?
Let me tell you about this one. Ron Eldard.
Tell me about this.
Who's
one.
A great actor. Plays Jimmy, the Blue Oyster Cult roadie, who returns to his hometown with his ailing mother. He's got to take care of her, and complications arise when he falls in love with an old friend who's now married to his longtime arch enemy in his hometown. See? So, you know, complications ensue. Here's a little scene where Jill Hennessy, who plays Nikki, the woman that Ron Eldard falls in love with, is talking to her old friend, Jimmy.
Randy is a good guy, I'm sure, but he's Queens.
And who am I, Queen Noor?
No, just...
Jimmy, I mean, not everyone's like you. Not everyone can just leave and make it big, you know? And maybe Queens is what I am, too. I mean, no, at my age, I've never left. So, yeah, I'm Queens, and that's okay.
No, you are more than that.
You're not Queens.
You're more than
You're
that.
You're Bronx, baby. You're Brooklyn. You ever been to Flushing, Queens?
No.
It's an excellent idea. Beneath the Darkness. This is an interesting film about a group of teenagers who watch their best friend get murdered by the local town hero, who they then try to expose as a vicious killer that he is and get people to change their opinions about the local town hero.
Okay.
Here's a collection of clips from the trailer.
So what's Eli's deal?
Was he married to the mayor's sister?
Yeah, but she died a couple years back. Did you hear that? No, I want to go upstairs.
Oh my God.
What are you doing in my house? Stairs can be very dangerous.
Most accidents happen in the home.
Why don't you believe us?
It's dark in there, doesn't it? Joke's on you!
Dennis Quaid stars as the bad guy in that film.
That sounds good.
It does sound good. But you know what looks really good and genuinely scary this weekend?
What?
The Devil Inside. Have you seen the commercial for The Devil Inside?
Oh, yeah.
If you're like me and The Exorcist still makes you wet your pants a little bit, even though you've watched it some 40 times, this exorcism film, The Devil Inside, looks pretty spooky. Doesn't star anyone you probably know. Shot in Italy, but it's about a woman who becomes involved in a series of unauthorized exorcisms because the Vatican won't allow you to videotape exorcisms, but they do. They're a combination of sort of spiritual and scientific exorcists. They help her discover what happened to her mother, who was also an exorcist, and she allegedly murdered three people during her own exorcism.
Is that the one with the eyes?
This is
the freaky eyes?
That's a nun who has been possessed by a demon in this film. Looks really, really unnerving, does The Devil Inside.
Yes, it does.
Here's the trailer for that film.
When I was about 8 years old, my mother murdered three people.
Police arrived at her home.
Had committed these murders during an exorcism. An exorcism performed on her.
Maria, I'm your daughter.
If you really want to help your mother,
you need a better understanding of exorcism.
What do you suggest?
You need to see a real one.
Be
Isabella.
She said my name.
Let my mother go.
You'll burn.
I'm in.
I'm surprised they didn't save this one for Halloween time.
Yeah.
But look, anytime is Satan's time. That's what I always say.
Agreed.
Can't go wrong with Satan any time of the year. So you can check out The Devil Inside this weekend. That's my pick. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Listening on a Friday here, the first Friday of 2012. By the way, we're debuting a new regular feature. At least I hope it'll be a regular feature just after the top of the hour. It's called Weird Al is Better Than You. Weird Al is Better Than You.
This feature, but
is the new feature. And okay. Weird Al will tell us why, in this particular instance, he is once again better than you. Coming up just after the top of the hour. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on the way. First, though, even though I can't seem to find the Seahawks on the schedule anywhere, apparently the NFL playoffs have begun, and apparently there are games that count for other teams that have moved beyond where the Seahawks are this weekend. Apparently that is happening. How about your Cardinals, Kevin? When are they playing this weekend?
They are playing next year as well.
Oh, next year as well. Okay, fantastic. Well, if you've still got a team in the hunt, or if you want to know who's likely to win, our friend Cousin Sal from Grantland.com on Twitter at The Cousin Sal, and of course working with his cousin Jimmy Kimmel on the TV, joins us on Fridays to take a look at the NFL weekend. Hey, Sal, Happy New Year to you, man.
Fellas, Happy New Year. I have bad news, though. The Seahawks and Cardinals seceded from the league. They are not going to be on the schedule now.
Really? So they're not only not playing, they're out of football completely.
Yeah, they just figured it'd be easier that way.
They're going to go into a B league.
Right. They're moving to Canada, doing some sort of arena football next.
Really good high school teams, and then those two.
Yeah,
Sal, who do you like? Who are you excited about? Who are you betting on this weekend?
Well, let me just say, I don't know if it means anything, but I was 3-0 last week, and because you guys, you know, had to take that 24th consecutive day off. You cost your listeners money. Okay?
Oh, sure. So you were 3-0 the 1 week we were on vacation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I did it purposely, but I hope you're happy with yourself.
Sure.
But anyway, I'm on a roll. There's four games this week. It's wild card weekend. Very exciting.
So there's two on Saturday and two on Sunday.
Two on Saturday, all starting 1:30 our time, Pacific time, rather. And, you know, I have very few caveats in the playoffs, but whenever you could bet against a redheaded rookie quarterback in his debut playoff game on the road in a hostile environment after he battled the flu all week,
right,
you have to do it. Okay. You have to do it.
Okay, so that's a hard, fast rule that you have?
Yeah, I have not lost with that yet.
Okay, all right.
Yes, I'm undefeated with that. And that's the Bengals coming into Houston. I'll tell you, this is my favorite game of the four, actually. Houston has this running back, Aaron Foster. He's a monster. They average like 153 yards on the ground. And the Bengals' run defense is average and poor sometimes. I don't see this being close. I like Houston giving the 3 to Cincy, 27-13 final.
All right, 27-13. All right, the other game on Saturday is Detroit and New Orleans.
Saturday night, Detroit, New Orleans. You know, I really don't usually like taking a team that I don't think is going to win, even though, you know, there's a lot of points. But, God, 10.5 is a lot of points to give the Lions.
It really is.
You know, and I like I said, I don't think they win. Drew Brees and the Saints are unstoppable, we've seen. And I think the Lions are a poor man's version of this. I'm scared of the Lions' garbage time points. I could see Detroit down 13 and scoring late. I'm not picking them to win. Just to cover the 10.5, 30-24, I'm taking the Saints.
All right, so you're taking the Saints 30-24, but that means they cover.
It does, yeah. That's Detroit a very cover. Interesting distinction, absolutely, for bettors. It does seem like the Saints are getting hot at the right time, and Drew Brees can do no wrong at this point. And his teammates love that dude and love playing for that dude.
They do. But let me just say this, Bean. I have never, ever been more confident in a game than I was 1 year ago this week, when the Saints went to Seattle, and I told everyone, hey, they're going to kill Seattle. It's not even going to be close.
Right.
And we know what happened there. Somehow the Seahawks, I think that's why I'm gun-shy with the Saints this week.
Sure.
Yeah, understood completely. All right, we move ahead towards Sunday, and I know it kills you to see the Giants in the playoffs this weekend instead of your beloved Dallas Cowboys, but what about them versus Atlanta?
It absolutely does. I mean, they've demoralized my Cowboys. Two Sunday night games. The Cowboys lost four. I don't want to make this about the Cowboys, but they lost four Sunday night games this year. They were the worst thing on NBC, and that is saying a lot. They made the marriage ref look like MASH. I don't know what to say about it. But I don't know. I really can't look at this objectively. I hate the Giants so much. They have this one guy, Victor Cruz. He's like a little gnat. He runs around and he catches the ball off his helmet and runs 90 yards. But I'll tell you what, I think people are sleeping on the Falcons a little. They're a little better than people want to give them credit for. They have a good running game. I think they'll torch the Giants secondary. 26-21. I'm going to take the Falcons on the road. 26-21.
All right.
I thought this was interesting because you don't see this all that often. These two teams have never played each other in the postseason. I don't think that necessarily means anything, but I think it's interesting that we're kind of seeing a matchup we haven't seen before.
That is weird. They're a popular team. They've been good over the years, but they've never played each other. But there's trash talk already. They've been accused of Falcons' line of being dirty, and so there's no love lost.
All right. But like a lawyer would, I think you have to recuse yourself from that one because you hate the Giants so much.
If you stay away from one of these four picks, let that be it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's emotionally driven.
And then there's
say that.
Pittsburgh and Denver.
Guys, I've been waiting 6 weeks. I don't know how long I've been waiting to bet against the Broncos here. But, I mean, this is gold. This is solid gold. And I told you, people are coming up to me and saying, what's going on with Tim Tebow? What is he doing? He's falling apart lately. He sucks. I've told you all. 2 months that he sucks. This is like saying... Wait, why aren't Beanie Babies worth that much anymore? Like, they never should have been worth anything in the first place. This guy is lousy. And I know Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers is banged up. He has one leg, one arm. You could wheel him out in a wheelchair and a swanket. He's still going to win this game. The Steelers defense, they have playoff experience. They don't F around, especially against a quarterback who we've not determined yet if he's left-handed or right-handed. God forgive me. The Steelers in a shutout, 23-0. Give the 9 points, take the money, and invest in Donda. This is guaranteed.
I really do hope that happens. Of all your predictions, that's the one that I hope most comes true because I don't think I can take listening to all the chatter throughout the playoffs if Tim Tebow manages to win a game this weekend. I really don't. I can't handle it. I'm so over it.
You're right. I'm with you. It's unbearable.
All right. You can read more. And Cousin Sal's got an awful lot more about this weekend, including some crazy stuff that doesn't even exist. You can find him online at grantland.com. Have a great time this weekend, Cousin Sal. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Sunday, Academy Award nominee Don Cheadle and Kristen Bell star in the series premiere of the Showtime original comedy about funny, dirty business. House of Lies premieres Sunday at 10, 9 Central, only on Showtime. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Woo, Lisa got
she made
that.
It.
How did she do it?
I think it was going to happen. I was having this terrible coughing fit. Yeah.
She's a pro.
I'm going to die.
Well done.
Thank
all right.
You.
Weird Al joins us coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph Garman is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
That's why it's a good thing to have no gag reflex. You can get through those
see,
those
that
reports.
Was worth it after all.
Exactly.
She's mastered it.
This is a creepy story on so many levels. Director David O. Russell, who directed such films as The Fighter, of course, and Flirting with Disaster. Did you ever see that movie? That was sort of a creepy family sex movie.
Yes, I did.
Was that Ben Stiller?
Ben Stiller, Taya Leone, Josh Brolin. Maybe David O. Russell drew on some personal experience, perhaps, with that film. Because now he is in a bit of trouble in Florida. Why does everything bad happen in Florida?
I don't know, but it does.
I don't know, but a lot of good things happen in Florida.
How dare you.
That's what I just thought Kevin was going to say. Here's the police report. David O. Russell's 19-year-old transsexual nephew, Nicholas Pelequin, who goes by the name of Nicole Pelequin, told Broward County Sheriff's Department that her uncle, David O. Russell, inappropriately touched her at a gym in a hotel.
Florida?
In Florida. Apparently, David O. Russell volunteered to help her with her ab exercises, in which part she tells the sheriffs that his hand hovered around her private parts.
Hey, those aren't my abs.
Then Russell at one point slipped his hands under Nicole's shirt and felt both of her breasts after she talked about the fact that she was taking hormone therapy in order to grow her breasts. She hasn't had the reassignment surgery yet.
What the hell?
Russell was interviewed by detectives where he said that his niece was acting very provocatively toward him during their workout and that she invited him to feel his breasts, her breasts.
This sounds more like a Jerry Springer episode than it does a police report.
It does. Yeah. So that's in the LA Times today. Kind of a creepy story.
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Okay. Joe Francis, who knows a thing or two about creepy.
Yes, he does.
He was in a car accident this week, opened his Bentley door into traffic, which caused an accident. Things got heated very fast. Apparently, he started screaming and yelling at the other driver immediately and started snapping pictures of the woman and her car. The woman didn't appreciate this. Huh, imagine that, a woman not appreciating Joe Francis taking pictures of her.
Yeah.
Tried to grab his phone, and they engaged in what police are calling mutual combat.
Mutual combat?
Yeah. Both parties suffered minor injuries. No one was arrested, so apparently it wasn't too serious. But mutual combat. That's opening up this weekend, and Cineplex is everywhere, isn't it?
I wish.
Dolph Lundgren in mutual combat.
I'm always torn by those Joe Francis stories because I appreciate his work. I think he's made a significant contribution to the world. But he does seem like such a tool.
Oh,
I just hate everything about him personally.
Yeah, he's a douchebag of mythic proportions.
He's king douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember Mackenzie Phillips? She was on that show One Day at a Time, and then she famously was on Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab as well. She was the one who had that tell-all book. She talked about her father, who was one of the founding members of the Mamas and the Papas, legendary 60s rock band, that she and her father would do drugs together, and then they had a consensual sexual relationship for about a decade.
Yes.
So they would get high and bone. Oh, you know, dad and his daughter. You know, it's family togetherness is what keeps this country strong.
It caused quite a rift in their family because other people either didn't believe it or knew about it and didn't say anything. So it was like, it was a mess, right?
Yes. Well, she was an addict. She says she is now clean, but she has a new problem. Now she's a hoarder.
Oh, man.
What?
She has announced that her life is out of control. She says it's like living the life of an addict without substance. So she's not hooked on drugs any longer. Now she's hooked on stuff. She will be headed to a new show from Celebrity Rehab. She's now going to Extreme Clutter.
Really?
On Oprah's network.
Really? Come on.
Oprah has a show on her network called Extreme Clutter.
This clutter
aren't they mutually exclusive? Clutter, by definition, sort of means it's kind of messy. There's some stuff hanging around, but I don't think you can have extreme clutter.
Yeah.
It's like that extreme showers when it comes to rain. Just, I don't think those can exist.
Anyway. Don't you kind of get the feeling that Mackenzie Phillips met with her agent and said, all right, what are my possibilities? How can I get on television?
Well,
what's hot right now?
Let's see. We can have you guest star on a Disney Channel show, or you can be yourself on Extreme Clutter.
Extreme Clutter.
I'm surprised she didn't just buy a storage facility and sell everything in it.
Yep.
Just to get on TV.
Yep. I got to go to one of those storage auctions. I got to go.
You got to go and you got to buy one. That'd be so awesome just to see what happens.
They had a behind-the-scenes show this week on Storage Wars where they gathered all the main players and they talked about the show. And they said because of the show now, hundreds of people are showing up at these storage auctions where it used to be a dozen people.
Yeah,
you know, a dozen, maybe 20 tops. And these guys made their living this way. Now they said, now we have to compete with all these yahoos who come out of nowhere. They're trying to outbid us and be on television. They said a $500 locker is now going for $2,000 because of
so
all
the So you want to be one of those
douchebags.
Yahoos to get in the way of
no,
them doing
I know. And I want to ruin their lives. But I wish I had known before the show existed that this stuff happened. I absolutely would have been one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
They just don't follow what happens to that storage room if somebody who's not one of the players on the show buys it, right?
No. They only show the ones that the main characters win. So,
and this is a TV show.
Yep.
So good, Kevin. Got to get on board with Storage Wars.
I'm not interested in Storage Wars.
Yep. Well, we're having two of them on next week. We're having Brandy and Jared on next week.
All
right. Or Jandy, as they're called.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's like Brangelina.
Nope.
They're Jandy.
Can't wait.
Yep. Today's celebrity birthdays. Arctic Monkeys singer and guitarist Alex Turner is 26 years old today. Actor Danny Pintaro of Who's the Boss is 36. Julie Chen, who hosts Big Brother and The Talk on CBS, 42 years old. John Singleton, movie director, turns 44. Former NFL player, played for the Raiders for many seasons. Howie Long, now on Fox's morning show on the Sundays, 52 years old. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, is 57, and Malcolm Young, guitarist for AC/DC, turns 59 years old. Today's the only day the acceptable answer is AC/DC.
That's correct, yes.
He's 59. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome the show.
Congratulations to Joanna Ross from Simi Valley. Joanna Ross just got tickets to see Coldplay May 1st or 2nd at the Hollywood Bowl and is in the drawing to go to Madrid, Spain.
Oh, wouldn't that be the
That would
best.
Be awesome. Yep.
Madrid, Spain, destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. You win Coldplay tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl. And then if you're the grand prize winner Monday, we call you and we send you to Spain. Let me tell you something else. Tickets go on sale Monday at 10 a.m. May 1st and 2nd. You've been hearing about that at the Hollywood Bowl. What if I were to tell you they've just added a third show? What about that?
Yeah! Right.
What about another Hollywood Bowl show? Another chance to see Coldplay. Now it's May 1st. May 2nd and May 4th. Again, all those details at krock.com to see Coldplay. And Monday, we send somebody to Spain to see the band. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Time for the best human ever.
Are you ready for Weird Al Yankovic?
Jesus, Omar, leave us a little time to talk to our guest.
He's got too many hits.
Almost dozed off in the intro. Ladies and gentlemen, greatest human ever, Weird Al, joining us back on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time in 2012. Hey, Al, Happy New Year to you.
Well, thanks. Same to you.
I said earlier today we're going to debut our new feature, Weird Al is Better Than You, and this is exhibit number one. Al, you have had quite a week, my friend. You're down there in Hawaii celebrating the holidays with your family, and you were involved in a charity event, as I understand it, at one of the popular resort nightclubs down there. Is that right?
That's correct. Well, let me ask you a question. Now, did you happen to sing on stage with Steven Tyler and Alice Cooper at a benefit concert in Maui on New Year's Eve?
Wait, let me think. Hold on. No, I didn't.
Well, it really pains me to say this, but all evidence would indicate that I am, in fact, better than you.
Oh, there's no
yes, there you go.
There's no question about that.
It's now official. Now, before we find out how you guys all ended up together on stage playing "Come Together" by the Beatles, you were. It's not like you were in the crowd and somebody dragged you up there. You were already there, and you were performing. Correct.
Well, I was on Maui. I spend the holidays in Maui with my family. We've got a place on the east side. East side! And every year, Alice Cooper does a benefit concert. His manager, Shep Gordon, owns a restaurant called Mala in Wailea in Maui. And they knew that I was going to be in town, so they invited me to come on and jam with them.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so you were an Alice Cooper on the stage. Now, did you have any idea that Steven Tyler from Aerosmith was going to also be in the neighborhood and swing by?
I found out about a couple days before. They're kind of keeping it on the lowdown. But, yeah, I found out, and I didn't know I was going to be singing with all three of them. I was going to be there. I did a CNR and Canadian Idiot, and I thought that was going to be the extent of it. But we did a sound check the day before, and they said, oh, come on stage. We'll do Come Together for the finale.
Fantastic. All right. Now, do you know, I mean, like, we in our mind, all famous people know each other. And you and Steven Tyler are friends. I mean, is he a guy that you are friendly with? Do you even know him?
I've met him a couple times over the years. Yeah, I did the Aerosmith parody. I did Living in the Fridge. So I had a little bit of feelings with him back then.
Well, of course you did. All right. So what's that like? Playing on stage, Steven Tyler, who, by the way, he's got to be 60, what is he, 63, 64, something like that?
I think he was 63, yeah. He just had a birthday not too long ago.
He still sounds fantastic.
And he's amazing. Up there,
he's amazing, right? I mean, he's still a rock star, for God's sake.
I think he's probably broken every bone in his body at this point, and he still moves better than anybody in the world. He's just an amazing life force.
And I think he did a couple other songs, didn't he? He did Walk This Way or Sweet Emotion or something like that.
He did Sweet Emotion, and he sounds as great as he ever did. It's just it was, you know, I got to tell you, it was so surrealistic for me because, you know, I'm no spring chicken myself, but I grew up on those guys. I mean, I would be tooling around in my family Plymouth Belvedere listening to Alice Cooper and Aerosmith on A-Track. So it was just so bizarre for me to be on stage with those guys.
Now, if you want to see Al on stage with those guys, we did put the video up. There's a video that was on YouTube, and you're actually singing with Alice Cooper, which is just insane, and Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
It's now, insane.
I don't know how I'm going to beat this, you know, next year. I'm going to have to be, like, jamming in Bermuda with McCartney and Jagger or something. I don't know.
It's the only way.
So, So Steven Tyler, he knows the words, of course, because they do come together in their set. Aerosmith also had a hit with that same Beatles song. So he sings his verse, and then it looks like Alice Cooper is reading his lyrics off a sheet of paper in front of him. And then you do the last verse, right? And you know the song, and you're belting.
Yeah. You know, I think everybody was going into this thinking it was a real low-stress kind of situation because, you know, Alice kept saying, oh, pretend like it's a bar band. We're just having a good time. And, I was aware that, you know, we live in the internet age where it just takes one guy with a camera phone, and then the whole world is going to see it.
Yep. Were you a little worried about it? I mean, did you think, I have to really bring it now because I'm on stage with these guys?
Well, yeah, I didn't want to suck. That was close to my mind.
Well, you're right. Somebody had a camera, more than one person had a camera, and it was weird to see what big news it was. I mean, people really picked up on the story. I saw it on CNN, for God's sake.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, like, you know, this is a better show than what they had in Times Square. Why did they have these guys?
Al, do you spend a lot of time in Hawaii because you can walk around in your Hawaiian shirt and blend in? Is that the draw for you?
Well, when I'm in Hawaii, I just wear a polo shirt so I stand out.
Oh, yeah, sure. There you go. Well, the post is up at KevinAmin.com or KROQ.com. The headline is Kevin Amin talked to Weird Al about the craziest party ever. And like you said, man, you're going to have to start planning very early in 2012. You're going to match this on New Year's Eve. So good luck with that.
I'm going to tell you guys, this was not covered by the media. Clint Eastwood was there as well. He was going to get up on stage. He was going to get up on stage and do All Lang Syne, and then for whatever reason, he decided not to. But as I walked off stage, he smiled and gave me a big handshake. And I just remember thinking, my dreams aren't this good. This is just crazy.
Clint Eastwood was there. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned this. Wasn't Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers also in the room?
Yeah, Mike Myers was there. In fact, he jumps up on stage. You can see that in the YouTube clip as well.
This is ridiculous.
What is happening?
What is happening?
It was crazy.
Unbelievable. All right. Thank you, Weird Al. Hey, good luck at the Grammys if we don't talk to you before next month, man. I know you're...
One more plug. Tomorrow night, VH1 Classic, my Behind the Music remastered airs.
Fantastic. Look at that. What are the chances it's all coming together? You're the best, Al. Happy New Year, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:36.
That song is well over.
It's over. Yeah. I want to let it end.
Fully over.
Yeah.
Yep. What's the rush, man?
Let it breathe.
That's right.
Great bucket.
They put a lot of work into that song. Well, they don't want me talking all over it.
You have Kevin's moment with from what was it, yesterday?
Oh, I bet we could find that.
The new moment for the new year. I was thinking about that yesterday on the drive home. I was laughing in the car out loud like a fool, like an idiot. I was just driving, laughing, saying, that was crazy.
Yeah. Well, the editing made it sound funny.
It wasn't edited.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. I mean, a lot of good happens.
It just happened.
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
He's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're
good.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that to, right. to his statement. That nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Do you feel perhaps that you are not being listened to intently, Ralph, when you do the show?
I do get that feeling sometimes. Yeah. But sometimes I feel like I'm not being listened to.
Some people don't listen.
Time for our final showbiz beat for the first week of 2012.
I got an angry email here from a listener, Jim, who's angry at me that I love Storage Wars.
Well, it is a terrible show.
No, it's a great show, first of all.
It's just other people's junk.
But Jim, apparently, it strikes a nerve with him because he had a storage locker.
Yeah.
About 5 years ago, he says, I had a hard time keeping up on my storage rent. I lost my job and couldn't keep up. They only give you 2 months, by the way, before they auction your stuff off. And they attach so much in late fees, lien fees, auction fees. They make it buy a $25 lock for the place. It's all BS. Anyway, he had all of his stuff taken out of his locker and sold off. And so he says that show just makes money off of people's misery. They're screwing people over. And how can I enjoy that?
Look, I understand.
Most shows.
It sounds like, Jim drops the ball. And he's angry at other people making a buck off of it.
Yeah, I get hard times, and I get how maybe that's an expense you can no longer afford. You're out of work or whatever, and it's extra, you know, $80 a month or whatever it is. But you've got 60 separate days that you could get in your car and drive down there and take your stuff out of the storage locker if you don't want it auctioned off, right?
That's what I'm thinking. If the minute you lose your job, you say, let me look at all of my expenses,
right,
things that I can afford to cut right now, I would have to think my storage locker rental would have to be one of those things.
Immediately, first day.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because you got too much crap, by the way, if you have a storage locker. So you can cut down on that stuff yourself. Take care of it. Do your job. Just saying.
His fault. It's on him.
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
People want to blame.
They do.
I get you.
And people want to blame, too.
Not only that. Hey, guess what?
People want to blame?
Yeah. But there's a Hasselhoff crab.
Yay!
What a new species has been discovered.
Is that an STD?
No.
What?
It's not the the usual Hasselhoff crabs you get by sleeping with Dave.
Allegedly.
It is a crab that has been discovered on the floor of the sea.
Okay.
This crab, it's a Yeti crab. That is the genus, I guess it would be.
So it's related to Bigfoot?
Yeah. Yes. No, okay. It's a big hairy crab.
Okay.
That lives some 2,500 meters below the southern ocean floor.
Okay.
And they've discovered it, and they have named it the Hasselhoff crab.
Why?
This what?
I'm sorry, I hit it, but then I thought you were either saying or hitting something else, so I just dumped it real quick. Well, give me your line. Give me your line again.
Okay, let's try it again.
Okay. It's a Hasselhoff crab.
This is a mess.
Yeah.
I think that went well.
I do, too. Apparently, they hang around the hydrothermal vents in Antarctica. Huh? That's where the hot water comes out, the water that's being heated by the molten lava that still is at the core of the underneath the Earth's crust.
Right.
It heats the water, and it shoots that water out through these vents sometimes on the ocean floor. So you get these warm pockets way below the surface of the ocean. And that's where they hang out.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Because they said that's where they build all the bars on the ocean floor. That's why he hangs out there. Yeah. Doesn't say here why they named it after David Hasselhoff.
That is a weird, weird thing because they don't do celebrities ever, do they?
Sometimes they do. Yeah, for a new species. I think there's a spider that's named after, I forget who it was, Russell Crowe or something like that. Sometimes they will take
weird.
It. Because you can name it whatever you want. You discover it, you get to name it. So I'm guessing this person must have been a Baywatch fan or something. But the Hasselhoff crab. It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
I think so. Could Ryan Seacrest be finished with the TV show that made him the giant star that he is today?
Is that American Idol?
He's in the last year of his contract with American Idol.
I don't know. I see him going away and that show going away at the same time, man, because it's all about
him. It's all
about
Ryan. Oh. True. Without Ryan, that show would fall flat on its face.
That's right. What do you have then?
Because it's based around him awkwardly putting his arms around the guys and asking them inane questions.
And then not knowing what to do with the girls.
Yes. Here's the thing. He makes $15 million a year on that show.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
For reading cue cards. And saying, Randy, how do you feel?
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's not like he brings anything to it. I mean, he is just a facilitator. He gets you from this part of the show to that part of the show and doesn't do it in a humorous way or even an interesting way.
So he's in the last year of his contract. Hollywood Reporter has a story where a source on the project says there's no way they will continue to pay Ryan that kind of money when he could be replaced for $2 or $3 million with someone else.
Easy, yeah.
And even paying $2 or $3 million with someone would be
right,
nuts, right? So they're guessing this may be his last
year. He's not like Simon either, where he's tough to replace.
Right.
Anyway.
So is Dunkelman just staring at the phone right now? He's praying for it to ring?
No, he's waiting for a second chance. Poor dude.
I hear they're firing your X Factor guy, too, that kid, the Steve Jones kid. I hear he's out, too. I hear people didn't like him. And I don't even remember him on that show. I mean, he was so insignificant to the success of that program, too. Same deal.
I didn't watch that show at all, so I don't know. He's the British guy, though, right?
He
hosts the other one, too?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't think it matters who hosts any of these shows, right?
I don't think so.
You tune in for the talent.
I don't see why they would fire him if they can get him. Maybe they're overpaying him, too. Maybe that's why they want to get rid of him. But you can always call here at the station, anybody who's got a gig over there. But for $2 or $3 mil a year,
you'll do
it.
Get beer mug.
We'll get to the results right after this. Pa-gow, 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 pa-gow.
You could do that.
I could do that. Come on. This is the bravest thief in history.
Okay.
TMZ reporting that the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas over the weekend, a cat burglar entered a room and was pilfering through the belongings there when the person who was staying in that room caught him, came home unexpectedly to the hotel room. That hotel room was Mike Tyson's.
Oh man.
Can you imagine?
Nope.
You're stealing stuff out of a hotel room. You hear the key card, the door opens, and Mike Tyson is standing there. Don't you just jump out the window? Just don't take your own life before he can take it?
Yeah. You're going to die either way. You might as well just...
Apparently, the criminal ran out, blew past the champ, got past him, and escaped before Mike could get his hands on him, which is lucky for that guy. But
wow.
That's bold. He must not have known, right? You don't willingly break into Mike Tyson's room.
No way.
Yeah. Porn star Kim Kardashian wants to adopt a baby.
No.
It's from In Touch magazine. Friends of hers say that she feels relationships just aren't working out for her. She fears she may not be finding Mr. Right anytime soon, and she desperately wants to have a child, so she will adopt.
Does she not understand that adopting a kid is also a relationship?
No. It's an accessory.
Oh, I see.
It's like a handbag line. You just get one, and you get your picture taken with it, and you put it on Christmas cards, and you push it around in the park, and then you hand it over to the nanny. You know, it's done.
I bet she's going through what a lot of women go through when they get to be in their 30s and they don't have that dream family that they thought they'd have by that point. And they go, hey, I don't want to miss out on the kid part before I get too old, right? It's not uncommon.
But she's so about herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
she didn't have time for her husband, let alone for a baby. And this may come as a surprise to Kim. I know it did to me. Babies take up a lot of your time.
A lot of time.
Yeah. A lot of time and energy, and they need attention and stuff. I mean, they constantly need to be kept alive.
Yeah.
They are not self-sufficient, babies.
No, right.
Which is a design flaw,
I think.
They're
pretty selfish.
They really are.
I mean, if I could be honest.
Oh, me. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I pooped myself. Oh, help me. Put my clothes on. Take my clothes off. That kid can do nothing for himself.
Yeah, they're not giving back, I'll tell you that.
You know what horses do? Baby comes out, up on his, running around the field, going to get some oats. Just take care of itself. Design flaw, I'm saying.
I think you're right.
Horrible design flaw with babies. No one tells you this stuff before you have one. They really don't.
Someone tell Kim this, though, please.
Someone pull Kim aside.
Please.
Hey, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz up at City Walk, Universal City, Kevin Smith and I will be doing the first Hollywood Babylon of the new year of 2012. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you stop by. You can get tickets at thelovitz.com is where you can buy your tickets. And, of course, in a couple of weeks, don't forget, tickets still available for Ralph Garman's An Evening with Adam West.
Oh, that's going to be so fun.
At the same venue, Adam and I will be sitting down for a couple hours talking about his life and career.
Other people, Bean says. Oh, that's going to be so fun.
Yeah, Bean won't go.
For everyone else, it's going to be there.
If I were in town.
You would not
wouldn't go.
I would go to that. That's how much I respect Mr. West. Now, what's the date of that again, Ralph?
That is January the 28th. That's a Saturday at 8 o'clock. Saturday, January 28th at 8 o'clock. Tickets still available there, also at thelovitz.com. Come on and see me hang out with Adam West.
Bean's really busy!
And I'm going to say this. In particular, if you only know Adam West from the Batman TV series, you're going to be amazed at how much other stuff he's done. And you're going to be, it's so entertaining just to listen to the guy tell stories because he's so funny and so interesting.
He does have great stories.
I think it's going to be a great night. I really
do. It's going to make you cry tears that come out of your butthole.
That's true.
It's going to be very touching evening. Yes. And we're going to be showing some rare video clips and stuff, things from his career that people haven't seen before. You know, we've got some early commercials he did in the 60s before he was Batman. And you know, he worked with the Three Stooges, did a feature film co-starring the Three Stooges. We got some footage from that. And we'll be talking about Lookwell, his lost pilot that Conan O'Brien wrote. And, of course, Family Guy and, of course, Batman. So it'll be a very entertaining evening. Looking forward to it.
Bean's really busy.
Bean's really busy. But if you're not busy.
I can't make it.
Come on by. Today's celebrity birthdays, Arctic Monkey singer guitarist Alex Turner is 26 years old today. These pills you gave me, Kevin, got me all goofy.
Really?
I'm like stoned or something. I can't focus. I really don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what they were. Does that bother you?
I found them in the subway toilet. Does that mind you at all?
This is what's awesome about Kevin, though, is he'll pull pills out of his pocket. He'll be like, I have no idea what this is, but take one.
Yeah. I was feeling poorly, and now I still feel poorly, but I don't care as much. That's the only really solution you've given
me.
Well,
it helped.
I'm aware of how poorly I feel, and yet at the same time, I can't really give a rat's ass. I'm having a hard time holding onto my paperwork here. I'm one thing at a time.
Now you know why I am the way I am,
Ralph. Yes, I do. And now I know why you are the way you are, too.
Right, that too.
Arctic Monkeys singer guitarist Alex Turner is 26 years
old
today.
Yes, you mentioned that.
Did I?
Yes.
I need to go home and lay down. Danny Pintaro of Who's the Boss is 36 years old today. Julie Chen. She's the host of Big Brother and The Talk. She's 20.
That's right.
She's 42 years old today. Movie director John Singleton's 44 years old. Former NFLer and now current football analyst on television. Howie Long is 52. Rowan Atkinson, British actor and comedian's 57. And Malcolm Young of the band AC/DC. He's the guitarist for that band. He is 59 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, now we're working with two Kevins. How's this going to go?
This is a very, very simple
thing. I'm glad I only took one of them. Here, take two. No, one's good, Kevin. Thanks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Today, I'm so excited.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
Naked?
Just like the other one.
There's Dr. Drew when you need him.
This one seems to be about to quit.
We gotta get the black acid.
And I need another hit.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
This is
Hey, cat. Stop with your silliness.
I don't have another cent.
So tell Beer Mug to shut the f*** up. God, what a douche.
Good guy. Nice man.
Just pass it around.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Wow, I'd really like penis.
We all gave it our best shot to make this thing work. It just didn't happen, all right?
What the hell? Was that because of us? I don't know. I mean, it started off super positive, then it just got crazy.
I did not like that at all.
No, Kev. None of us did.
Yeah, it was totally messed up.
That, my friends, is closure!
Ooh, I'm out of here. Head to the most noisiest apartment building in Hollywood. The one that keeps you up all night. I'm on my way to that place right now. I don't need sleep. Why sleep?
Why not, Bean? This is America!
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.